from the campus of Henry Ford College, we're WHFR Dearborn, featuring the local and independent artists. Well, Tuesday came around once again, obviously, and we're back with another scintillating installment of Radio Vault. It's always a dilemma. What can I dig up that we haven't dug up before that would be interesting and enjoyable for our loyal listeners? That's always the dilemma. And I always find a solution. So we're going to kick it off in just a moment here with a show that Mickey Rooney, the actor, as a child actor, played a role on both movies and the radio show. This radio show is produced by MGM, the movie production company, back in the golden days, or the silver days, whatever you want to call them. So we'll be hearing the Hardy family from syndicated radio, I guess you could say. In this episode, Andy Hardy, which is the character played by Mickey Rooney, writes a love song. This is the 40th episode in the series. And with that, we're just kind of getting started. Oh, by the way, if you're catching us for the very first time, we bring out the classics, the situation comedies, the variety shows, the occasional drama on this program. So what else is in store, you ask? Well, we're going to hear from Bob Hope. Bob Hope perhaps was most famous for doing shows all over the world, wherever the United States was waging war or someone was waging war with the United States. Bob Hope would go there to entertain the troops. And he had his own radio show sponsored by a toothpaste by the name of Pepsodent. So we'll hear an episode of the Bob Hope Show from later on in his career, 1948. And then we have a bunch of situation comedies. We'll hear Life with Luigi, starring J. Carroll Dash, another movie actor, writing about what life is like. He's an Italian here in the U.S., and he's writing to his mama in Italy to start off every show. Life with Luigi, later on in today's show, we will follow that with Meet Corliss Archer. And another episode of Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. A show about how the key to the school was lost. And then we're going to wind it up today with a little-known show called Cleary and Gillum. I guarantee you, you've never heard that show before. And then finally, Johnny Mercer's Music Shop. Johnny Mercer was a famous songwriter. I'll bet there's some songs that you've heard that he wrote. But he had his own radio show. How about that? So if you're ready, I think I'm ready. Let's go back to the Hardy family.
From Hollywood,
here's Mickey Rooney, Lewis Stone, and Faye Holden in the Hardy family.
Mm-hmm.
to present the Hardy Family, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer motion picture series, which brought delight to millions and reflected the common joys and tribulations of the average American family. And now here are the same great stars in the parts they created on the screen. Lewis Stone, Mickey Rooney, and Faye Holden, the Hardy Family. Is so full of so many struggling songwriters and so few successful composers is that a good ear for music and a taste for music are two very different things. The struggle for musical fame is even more difficult in the case of Andy Hardy, who has a good ear and a taste and a piano.
Mom! Dad, I've got it!
What?
This time it's the real thing.
Well, what have you got that's a real thing this time?
A hit song!
Oh, dear, where did you hit it?
Mom, please, for guy's sakes.
Emily, I think Andrew means that he's just joined Beethoven and Bach.
Oh, but Andy, you already belong to so many clubs.
Mom, listen, I have written a sensational new song.
Oh, that's wonderful,
yes.
Dear. Is it anything like, if you'd let me know of your impending arrival, I would have prepared a pastry?
Emily, is that a song?
Anyway, it's nothing like that one. This is a simple, beautiful ballad. It'll stir the hearts of music lovers throughout the entire world.
Oh, what's the name of your song, dear?
Well, I haven't got a name for it as yet. Song titles, Mom, they change every year. Lately, they've been doing songs with romantic titles.
Yeah, it's like Mule Train.
Wait a minute. I got it. Look at the words they use in other song titles. Moon, June.
Yes. Croon, spoon.
Yeah, that's it. And love, above.
Turtle dove.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know what I will call my song?
What, dear?
Why.
Why?
Yes. Short, to the point, easy to remember, simple. Why?
I give up, dear. Why?
No, Mom, why is my song? Look, I'll play it for you on the piano. Let me see. Oh, excuse me, I may make a few changes later, but anyway, here it is.
When I'm away from you, my dear, blah, 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 yakety-yak, dum-dee-dee-dum, wish you were here. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's the first eight bars. How do you like it?
Andrew, is your song written in French? I couldn't quite follow some of the lyrics.
Well, you see, I haven't figured out all the words as yet.
Well, dear, I like them just the way they were. Blah, 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 when I'm away, yakety-yak.
No.
Blah, 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 blah.
You gotta give it more blah.
Yes. I got a yakety mixed up with a blah.
I tell you, this is the kind of thing that has universal appeal.
Yes, I guess the old universe does feel a little blah right now.
I think I'll rest a moment or two before dinner. This sort of thing takes a lot out of a composer, you know.
Oh, it must be a terrible strain.
Yes, indeed. A man can't blah, blah, and yakety-yak all day without feeling it.
away from you, my dear. Blah, blah. Yakety, yakety.
Andy Hardy, I don't believe you're listening blah, to blah, me. Blah, blah. I said there's a swell movie at the Bijou tonight.
Polly, I'm trying to get some lyrics for my new song. Please.
You're writing a song?
I was really thinking of you when I got the inspiration.
Really?
Yes, dear.
Oh, you're sweet.
Oh.
How does the song go?
I've been singing it for the last hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was your song. Sing it again, please.
When I'm away from you, my dear, blah, blah, yakety, yakety.
Andy, you were thinking of me when you wrote this song?
Yeah, I was. Of course, it's our song, all about you and me.
Well, which one am I? Blah, blah, or yakety-yak?
Well, you see, that's just the way I fill in till I get the right words in the right spots.
Isn't it wonderful? When we hear that song played by some big band on the radio, we'll know it's our song.
Polly, I'm afraid it can't be just our song. I can't keep this song from the world. I can't. They're crying for it.
Well, give it to them.
It's my duty to mankind.
I said go ahead, give it to mankind.
I will.
Well?
Mankind will give it right back.
Well, what do you mean, Andy?
I've already sent 3 songs to music publishers before. It's no use. I don't think they even look at them.
Oh, what makes you think that?
Once I sent them a blank sheet of paper by mistake, and they sent it back with a note that said, "This tune is an improvement over your last one. Do more like it."
Well, maybe you could get a big singer to do it.
No, I couldn't get anybody to... Wait a minute. I'll get him to do my song right here on the Carville radio station.
Oh, but there's no big singer in Carville.
Every night for a month. A mystery singer will do it.
Is he ashamed to admit his name?
I'll run a big contest in my newspaper, Polly. People have to guess the name of the singer, and meanwhile, they'll be hearing my song. Why, the Spectator will be the biggest paper in the state.
Andy.
Yes, dear?
Don't you think the contest might backfire?
Backfire? How?
Well, instead of doing all those things, it might only make the mystery singer more popular.
Then I can't lose.
You can't?
No, I'll be the mystery singer.
Gosh, Andy, your mystery singer contest sure has got the whole town talking.
Yes, Beezy, this little scheme is going to make me quite famous.
Yeah, I listened to the program last night. Your song is swell.
Thanks, old man.
My mother said she couldn't get your song out of her head even this morning.
Really? Well, shows you just how it'll catch on then, huh?
Yeah. She said if she couldn't get it out of her head by tonight, she was going to pray for Call of the Wild Goose to come back.
Well, it was just too hep for her, that's all. Could she guess who the mystery singer was?
Huh? Gosh, she was way off. Yeah, right after the first note, she said, "Why, that's Andy Hardy singing."
She did what?
Yeah, I told her she was crazy, but she went right out and mailed her entry anyhow.
Good night. Wait a minute. That'll mean the end of the contest after only one day. Beezy, we've got to disqualify her.
Good morning, Andy. Beezy.
Oh, Miss Harvey, good morning.
Oh, hi, Miss Harvey. Yes.
I heard your mystery singer contest on the radio last night, Andy.
Oh, you did? Really?
Yes, it was a very interesting program.
Thank you. Kind of liked the song, too, I suppose.
The song?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pay much attention to that.
Oh?
I certainly noticed the singer, though. He was just a little flat.
Yeah, that guy ought to be whipped for ruining a beautiful song.
Daisy, shut up!
I entered the mystery singer contest, too, Andy.
Fine. I hope you're fortunate and guessy enough to win.
Well, it didn't take me long to figure out who the singer was.
Well, it's not quite that easy, you know.
Yeah, you know, my mother thought it was Andy.
Shut up! don't mind him, Miss Harvey.
Well, I think I agree with Beezy's mother.
You do?
Why, yes. Don't forget, Andy, I used to teach you singing in high school, and you were always just a little flat.
Basie, I'm through. Finished. Washed up.
Oh, what's the matter?
My song only lived for one day. It's the end of the contest.
Oh, the contest isn't over, Andy. We've gone through 250 letters, and they all guess you as the mystery singer.
Hmm?
Well, we haven't got a winner yet.
Beezy, I am the mystery singer.
You are?
Yes.
Holy cats, my mother was right.
Your mother, Miss Harvey, and hundreds more.
Well, it looks like this whole town's going to read our paper free for the rest of their lives.
I don't think so.
Huh? Well, what are you going to do?
I promised duplicate prizes, and I'll give them to them.
But how? That many lifetime subscriptions will amount to millions of free papers.
No, it won't. I think this paper is going to have a very, very short life.
In a moment, the Hardy family will return. But first, a word from your announcer. Now back to the Hardy family, starring Mickey Rooney, Louis Stone, and Faye Holden. Romanticists for centuries have poured forth their emotions in song. Even Shakespeare wrote, "If music be the food of love, play on." But Andy Hardy has a different theory.
If music is the food of love, my romance is going to die of malnutrition.
Well, give your song a chance. The radio show didn't work. Try another angle.
Try what? I've thought of everything.
Emily,
mm-hmm.
We're quite privileged to have a son like Andrew. First man in history who ever thought of everything.
I don't know where to take it. Publishers are in New York, name bands all over the country except here. Here in Carville, no bands here.
Isn't there a good band playing at the Carville Hotel?
That band?
Yes.
Benny Frisbee and his Frantic Five?
Oh dear, maybe they take your song if they're frantic enough.
Hold it just a minute, please, Mom. Benny Frisbee may be the answer at that. He plays in small towns, but he reaches millions of people. Ah, that's right. I'll get Benny to do my song while he's here.
Yes, and then he'll play it on his tour around the country.
Yeah, on the tour, that's right, Dad. Unwittingly, he'll be carrying my song to the world, leaving its mark here. And there.
Yeah, just like a mosquito carries malaria.
Yes, that's it. Boy, is this country in for a big epidemic of Andrew Hardy. Beezy, this is sensational. I don't know why I didn't think of taking my tune to Benny Frisbee before.
Andy, do you think he's the right man for your song?
What?
You know what the jive hounds around town call him?
No, what?
Benny Frisbee and his makes you want to drop dead music.
Yeah, well, don't worry. He can't ruin a perfect song like mine. Look, we're almost at the Carville Hotel. We'll find where the orchestra's rehearsing, and I'll do all the talking. See, I'll do all the talking. I know the musicians' lingo. Vauto Riti. Mac Vuti.
Vaudo Mac who?
Well, that's just hip talk, Beezy, hip talk. Only musicians understand it. Now, remember, you just came along to advise me, you see. That makes me look important.
Yeah, I know. If Frisbee offers you $5,000 for your song, I just shake my head no.
Yeah, I'll plead with you to let me take it. See, that makes me a nice guy.
Yeah, but I just keep shaking my head.
Yeah.
And that makes me a stinker.
When he gets to $10,000, you still shake your head.
Yeah. I do? Oh, I'm not only a stinker, I'm an idiot.
When he says, "That's my final offer," you say, "We'll take it."
Yeah, I got you, Andy.
Yeah.
Gee, just think, $10,000 for a song.
Yeah, when it's published, there'll probably be 50,000 more, too.
And think how much you'll get from phonograph records.
100,000.
Sheet music selling at 30 cents a copy.
Sell a half a million, that's 150,000.
Then they'll buy it for the movies.
600,000.
They'll build a big New York musical around it.
800,000.
Royalties from foreign markets.
900,000.
I guess that's about all.
It's a dirty jip.
Huh?
Well, one more 100,000, I would have been a millionaire.
Okay, boys, hold it. All right, let's try this new arrangement, huh?
Excuse me, man. Old cat, man. Are you that cat frisbee man? Jack? Old boy? Root? Root scoot? Old booty? Old booty, rooty, scooty?
Am I that... Yeah, I'm that man. I happen to be Benny Frisbee.
Ah.
All right.
Yeah, well,
but I'm pretty busy right now, so will you...
Well, you're latching on to Andrew Hardy. Old Boutcat with Mellor Rooney jive. Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
I like to dig a little knocked out solid stuff, strictly Vout O'Reedy. Man, old man, kid, man.
Vout O'Reedy?
Yeah, solid stuff. You know, Vooty?
Vooty?
Vooty old Rudy, old Rudy Reedy.
Oh, Rudy Reedy.
Reedy, Rudy, Rudy.
Oh, really?
Real sazmafraz, it certainly is nice of you to knock this gentle latch mouth talk, Cat Frisbee.
Yeah, I've always said that, yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Why, we happen to be latching onto a sweet hunk of mellow groovy real Vout-O'Rooney, Reed Beatty Skeety.
Yeah, hold it.
Hold it!
Well, wait a minute now. Just
what's
a second.
What's
you,
the matter?
Hey, yeah. You there. You in the bow tie and T-shirt.
Yeah.
You mean me?
Yeah. Are you this guy's interpreter?
Oh, no. Gosh, no. No. I just came along. I'm supposed to shake my head.
Well, shut up. You're busy. No, never mind about him, man. He's some
look,
square, man.
Somebody
he's a square.
Please tell me. What is this all about, huh?
Yeah, well...
What do you want, boy?
Don't you dig me, Frisbee?
Not as deep as I'd like to.
I'm trying to speak to you in a language you understand. I've written a hit song.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Look, son, in the language everybody understands, blow.
Wait. You mean you won't listen to it?
No, I'm afraid not. You see, we have to play popular tunes, the ones people ask for.
Well, I'd be willing to take as little as 3,000 for why.
For why?
Yeah. Because
you think I'm crazy, that's why.
No. Why? Why happens to be the name of my song. You can have first crack at it for just 3,000 potatoes.
For just 3,000, you must be crazy.
No. I'm sorry, Frisbee. We can't let it go for that.
Shut up, Beezy. How about just 1,000, Mr. Frisbee?
That's ridiculous.
Is that your final offer, Frisbee?
Shut up, will you, Beezy? Maybe just $500, Mr. Frisbee?
No. Capital N-O, no.
How much is that in round figures?
I'm free! Mr. Frisbee, listen, I'll let you have my song. I'll let you have it absolutely free, and that's my final offer.
We'll take it!
This is crazy. Both of you, get out of here!
Okay, Mr. Frisbee, you had your chance. One of these days you'll be getting requests for my song. Requests, yes, and you'll be stuck with nothing but stuff by Irving Berlin. Dad, get on your best clothes. I'd like you and Mom, Dad, to go dancing tonight to the music of Benny Frisbee and his Frantic Five, yes.
Well, I don't know about that, Andrew. It sounds exhausting, the Frantic Five.
Oh, James, let's go. You always used to dance rather frantically.
Well, look, folks, you've just got to go tonight if you ever want to hear my song.
Did Mr. Frisbee buy your song?
No, but he said he has to play the tunes that people ask for. I want you and Mom, Dad, to request my song tonight.
And if he doesn't have your song, how can anybody...
I'm getting everyone I know to go. I'm taking Polly, Beezy's taking Hilda. There'll be you and Mom. Frisbee will be flooded with requests for my song.
Oh, I think we should go, James. We should be there in Andy's hour of triumph.
Well, I still don't understand what...
Well, after Frisbee goes crazy with all the requests, see, Dad, I'll step up and hand him my song. Simple.
I hope so, but every time you say simple, I get goose pimples.
Believe me, Dad, before this night's over, my tune will become an American classic. Okay, Polly, I think it's time for us to go over and speak to Frisbee again.
Oh, Andy, I'm ashamed to request your number again.
No, this time I'm going to give him the song. He must be dying by now after all the requests he's had for it. Come on.
Oh, golly, Andy, I hope this is going to work.
Stop worrying. You can't keep a song from the people when they're clamoring for it.
No, especially when you pay them $1 apiece to clamor.
I only paid Beezy and his girl. Quiet, here he is. How's it going, Gate, Mr. Frisbee?
Oh, everything's fine. It's you. Look, no Vought, no O'Rooney, and no new song, huh?
A few of my friends have been wondering why you don't play that new hit song, Why?
Oh, well, frankly, because I don't have a copy. And you'll never know how glad I am.
I just happen to have an arrangement in my pocket here. It's your job to please the customers here, isn't it?
It's a diabolical trick.
Here it is.
All right.
Yes, here it is.
Give it here. I'll play it.
I'll play it, will you?
And I only pray my music teacher never hears of this.
Good. Frisbee, good. We'll get together and talk business later, huh? We'll get together.
Yeah, well, you'll be able to find me at the Musicians Union trying to be reinstated.
Come on, Polly. Let's go and sit with Mom and Dad while we drink this memorable moment in.
Oh, it worked, Andy.
Certainly, it had to happen. Look at all these people, Polly. They don't realize they're about to hear the first work of America's outstanding new composer.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? I'm so proud of you, Andy.
Oh, well, it's a little sad in a way. Now you're going to have to share me with the world.
I'll try to be brave.
Oh, here we are. Mom, Dad, get set. Frisbee's going to play my number now.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite a relief, too. I've been up to that stage so often, I believe Frisbee thinks I'm looking for a job playing the drums.
Oh. Quiet, everybody, please, will you? He's about to start the number. He's kicking the number. Wait a minute. Oh, my gosh, what are they doing? Wait a minute, they're playing it too fast.
Oh, don't worry, it's probably better dance tempo.
Listen to what they're doing to my melody. They'll ruin it. My beautiful song.
Quiet. Just a minute, Andrew, just a minute. I don't believe your beautiful song is your song at all.
What do you mean, Dad?
Now that I hear it played faster, it has a very familiar ring.
Familiar ring, it does?
Yes, listen to it. Camp Town racers sing this song, doo-dah, doo-dah day.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I collaborated with Stephen Foster. Didn't know it.
In a moment, the Hardy family will return. Here again is the Hardy family.
Oh, my James, I've had so much fun dancing tonight.
Yes, very nice, but we didn't seem to work together as smoothly as we used to.
Why, James Hardy?
Well, I noticed particularly in that number of Andrews.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, dear, but you kept pulling away from me all the time.
Well, I was trying to lead, but the top half of you is going to the right and the lower half is going to the left.
Oh, James, I was just doing the Rumba.
Rumba? Good heavens, I was doing a tango.
dear.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, hello. Hello, son. Hi. Well, you didn't stay at the dance very late.
How could I? How could I after what happened?
Oh, now, Andy, you mustn't brood. How could you know someone had stolen your song before you even wrote it?
It was bad enough to find out my melody wasn't original, but I had to invite all my friends there to find out, too.
Well, I'm sure they knew it wasn't intentional.
Dad, after you left, Frisbee had him put the spotlight on me and introduce me as the composer. Oh, it was awful.
Oh, I think it was very nice of him.
He introduced me as Stephen Foster.
Starring Lewis Stone, Mickey Rooney, and Faye Holden is based on characters created by Urania Rubral. This program was written by Jameson Brewer. Direction is by Joe Bigelow. Original music was composed and conducted by Jerry Fielding. Supporting cast included Eleanor Tannen, Dick Crenna, Lee Brooks, Paul Frees, and Nestor Paiva. Jack McCoy speaking.
And there you have Mickey Rooney as Andy Hardy in the Hardy Family from about 1949 or so. That's one we don't have an exact broadcast date on, but for what it's worth, in just a matter of moments, the fun continues with our friend Bob Hope. As I mentioned at the beginning, Bob Hope visited the troops regularly overseas wherever bad things were going on. Bob Hope was there to cheer everybody up. And he had his own radio show. We'll be hearing that radio show when Radio Vault continues. Welcome aboard the USS Radio Vault. Here on 89.3 WHFR, the station that makes waves.
Really? And skip.
Want me on your team just a little bit? Take a look around, you can see they're all...
And skip. You can skip songs, but don't skip the doctor's office. Talk to your preteen's doctor about how to safely come in for their well visits and recommended vaccines. Really? And skip.
A public service announcement from Vaccinate Your Family in collaboration with Merck.
Earn your Associate in Applied Science degree with Henry Ford College's Computer Information Systems Network Administration Program. This program covers a wide range of topics within the computer networking and system administration fields and prepares students for a number of industry certification exams. HFC also has transfer agreements with several four-year universities toward your completion of a bachelor degree. For more information on this or any other area of study, visit hfcc.edu today.
Haven't we always wanted our own place? One without car horns or stoplights, but one filled with rhythms and waves, soothing tunes and slow vibes, and songs we play all day, where you turn on the radio and listen to Mr. Jaggs. An adventure awaits on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Nestled in the heart of Dearborn, Michigan, is WHFR. Grab a blanket, hot cocoa, and relax in the comfort of the late afternoon. A place where afternoon jazz helps your troubles drift away. Gather the pets, the family, the friends, and tune in to the station where once a week, snuggled in the late afternoon, is pure jazz.
From Laguna Beach, California, on behalf of the Laguna Beach Youth Fund, Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope and his special guest, Dinah Shore. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob in Laguna, where the sea meets the sky, and they expect MacArthur to land here first hope. Telling you that even if you're too young to be affected by the congressional income tax cut, to use Pepsodent regularly without any scolding, and your teeth will never be exempted, and your kissing will always be withholding. Well, here we are at Laguna Beach. This is where the new look originated. During the summer, the men wear their eyes 2 inches longer down here. Couldn't get my tongue into high. This is really an exclusive swimming hole. Any wave coming in without a white cap is stopped offshore and sent down to San Diego. They say Laguna is the Riviera of America. Only trouble here is so many people wear slacks you can't tell a niece from a nephew. But there was good news from Washington last week for a change. John Q. Public finally got his income tax cut. Income tax cut. That's just a sneaky way of saying, let's give him coffee money, Sam. They may remember in November. This sort of thing happens every election year. They reduce taxes so you can afford to buy Dewey buttons. It was a nice gesture, but who needs more money? I've grown to love dandelion green. And speaking of green stuff, I'm happy that spring is here again, with the sun shining, the flowers blooming, and the birds and pedestrians flying through the trees. California climate is so even you couldn't tell when spring was here if you didn't check the pneumonia cases at the hospital. As usual in California, March came in like a lion, went out wearing galoshes. And spring is the season for romance. I know, today I saw a pilot spelling out, Honest John loves Madman Munch. Even the worst of enemies get filled with love this time of year. I looked in the refrigerator this morning and the butter and the oleomargarine were snuggling. And it's very romantic in Hollywood. Luella and Hedda both reported that C. Aubrey Smith and Dame Mae Whitty are holding tea bags. And Sinatra was spring cleaning out of his house yesterday, but he made a terrible mistake. He got too near the vacuum cleaner and hasn't been heard from since. Of course, spring fever makes everyone so lazy. Just this morning, I saw a squirrel getting nuts for the winter. He was putting pennies into a peanut machine. Everything's so tired. On the way down here, I turned on my car radio, and an orchestra was playing, I'm Looking Under a Four-Leaf Clover. I'll work this way for that. Maybe Patrilla's in the house. And everybody's gardening. Some raise flowers, some raise vegetables. John L. Lewis is raising cane. He planted his eyebrows and up came the miners. And now that it's spring, President Truman put a pot of geranium out on his balcony and he waters it twice a day, waiting for Taft to walk underneath. Ought to be in Paris in the spring. Ought to be anywhere these days before the Russians get there. But there'll be no spring in Moscow this year. Joe caught the groundhog reading Winchell. Winchell is giving Stalin one last chance. If Russia doesn't come to terms before his next option, he's going to fly over and drop a 40-ton bottle of Jergens lotion on the Kremlin. Ladies and gentlemen, if singing popularity were votes, I've got the next president here right now. She has a voice so full of magic, she can read the weather report and make it number one on the hit parade. Here she is, America's queen of song, Miss Dinah Shore.
Honey, I've and down, down the little town, where the people smile on you all the while. Hospitality, they were good to me. I couldn't spend a dime, I had the grandest time. I went out a-dancing with a Tennessee cheer. A fella there named Handy had a band you should hear. While those people swayed, man, they really played real harmony. I never will forget the tune that Handy called the Memphis Blues. They got a fiddler there that always thickens his hair. Oh, Lordy, how he pulls on his bow. And when you hear that tune, listen to the trombone crew.
Singing Memphis Blues, accompanied by Les Brown and his We're in Laguna at Lee Baring's Beach and Tennis Club Orchestra. Dinah, that was swell. You're tops for my money.
Money. That reminds me.
Please don't spoil a beautiful friendship. Please. Anyway, you've got your own show with Harry James, haven't you, Dinah?
That's right. And you know, Bob, you remind me quite a bit of Harry.
Really? You mean we're both handsome, talented, and attractive pretty girls?
No, Bob. You've both been made famous by a horn.
So loud. Patrillo's liable to ask me for dues.
Oh, I do declare. Honey, you're just the funniest man I ever saw in my life.
You're from the Sooth, ain't you, Dinah?
Well, yes, I am, Bob. How in the world can you tell?
That's easy once you get the hang of it. But seriously, Dinah, I really love the way you handle a song.
Thank you, Bob. You've always had a nice voice. Why is it you don't sing more often?
I have an agreement with Crosby. There's so much jealousy at Paramount. But now that you mention it, I thought Crosby and I sang a pretty good duet in The Road to Rio.
Oh, I saw the picture, Bob, and together you two look more like a trio.
Well, our girdles didn't come back from the laundry in time. But you know, I did sing in my first picture. I sing the light stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you sing more like Jolson, sincere and realistic? Well, you know, when he sings April Showers, you can almost hear the rain.
That's the water on his knees squishing into action.
Say, Bob, what's this about you singing in your first picture?
Oh, you remember the song. It's about two sleepy people.
Oh. Say, Bob, why are they sleepy?
Well, I have my regular listeners, you know. Here we are, out of cigarettes,
holding hands and yawning, look how late it gets.
Two sleepy people by dawn's early light,
and so much in love to say goodnight. Robert, here we are, newlyweds in our own little apartment.
Yeah, ain't it wonderful? Just 10 days ago, I carried you across that threshold.
Yes. Yeah. Robert, why are you looking so puzzled?
Think I should let you down?
First, tell me, who's Ootsie, Itsy, Bitsy, Lovums is Ooze?
I is Ooze.
Beg pardon?
I is Ooze. I like that.
Oh,
Hiya, Suze.
Oh, well, Suze is my darling. And you, Suze has so much talent.
Yeah, I'll never forget how we met in the park. You were feeding nuts to the squirrels.
Yes, and you keep beating the squirrels to the nuts.
Yeah, when I looked at you, I forgot where I buried them.
Robert, didn't your father ever tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers?
Nah, he just left me in the woods to learn for myself.
Here we are in a cozy chair,
chicken on a wishbone from the Frigidaire.
Two sleepy people with nothing to say,
and too much in love to break away.
Are you happy, Cream Puff?
Yes, Colonel.
That's Cuddles. Curdles.
I'm sorry.
I must look like an Ador milkman or something. Did you bring your own writer? Gee, honey. That ticker. Remember how we got engaged?
Oh, yes, I'll never forget it. You switched the pond.
Well, I didn't want to be an old maid. And I'll never regret it, darling. Isn't marriage wonderful?
Oh, it certainly is, dear. Shall I get your pipes and slippers?
No, thanks. This time I think I'll use tobacco.
Gee, Bob, I just love our apartment. Isn't it a cozy place?
Sure is. Of course, it'll be better when we get furniture. I don't see why you won't let me buy any.
Oh, but honey, it's so much more fun going to the quiz shows.
I hate quiz shows. That's Ralph Edwards and his consequences.
Well, you'd have married me anyway, wouldn't you?
Do you remember the nights we used to linger in the hall?
Father didn't like you at all.
Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall?
To rent this little nest and get a bit of rest.
Oh, isn't it heavenly?
Oh.
Ah, you missed me.
Help!
Sound like the UN moved in upstairs.
Oh, no, that's the couple next door. They're celebrating their 10th anniversary. Oh. I've given you the best years of my life, and what have I got to show for it?
Wrinkles, you prune face!
Rob dead!
Don't think I haven't tried!
Just a lover's quarrel.
Too bad you didn't warn me about your mother.
Oh, Robert, darling, promise me we'll never fight like that.
I promise, forever and ever, Nell Jolson.
Oh, when I think of the men I could have married, it makes me sick!
Wait a minute. I'll think of them too and get sick with you.
Oh, Robert, you know, I did your laundry for the first time today, and I'm afraid I didn't do a very good job.
Oh, honey, you did a swell job. You shouldn't feel bad because you put starch in my socks and darned up all the buttonholes in my shirt.
I've been ironing all day. How do you like the way I did your shirt?
They look swell.
That's good.
Yeah. And they look even better if you'd have washed them first. What are you talking about? You're dressed in silk.
Yeah, but I want it changed. I'm getting tired of wearing the wedding gown. Oh, Robert. Robert, this is terrible. We've got to go over there and stop him before somebody gets hurt.
That's not as liable to be me.
Come on, darling. Let's hurry. There. Here we are. Quick now. Knock on the door.
Gee, it's got awful quiet in there. Oh, hello. Where's your husband?
He's not home yet.
Please, darling, no. I do love you. I do. Oh!
Yeah, but what's that?
The radio. I'm listening to Happiness House.
Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say good night.
Regina, how do you like Laguna Beach?
A quaint little seacoast town. And by the way, Bob, thank you very much for showing me around.
Oh, don't mention it, Dinah. How about another shore dinner tonight?
Oh, thanks, Bob, but this time I'd rather have one in a restaurant.
Well, don't be silly. The clams are fresher when you dig them yourself. Don't you think?
Say, Bob, you know Laguna Beach is a famous artist retreat.
It looks more like a complete surrender.
Gosh, I love the atmosphere here. The stores are so old-fashioned, and they have such wonderful antiques.
I know what you mean. I ordered a lamb chop at ye old Victor Hugo's tea shop, Eve, and it came out wearing green velvet pantaloons. Yes, but it's a great town, and I like the natives here, Dinah. You know, they're such unusual types.
You ought to hear what they say about you.
I hear they. Miss Vague, what are you doing here in Laguna?
Well, I'm with a stock company.
Well, serves them right. They should have locked the corral.
You're so clever. Tell me, did you drive down to the beach or were you washed up with the rest of the grunion? Oh, dear. I'm having so much fun down here. I'd love to go surfboarding with Hope.
You surfboarding? Say, that's dangerous. Isn't it tough to stay on, Miss Vane?
Oh, no, not for me. The last time I tried it, I stayed on the surfboard for hours.
For hours?
Yes, and then when I wasn't looking, some sneak pulled it into the water. Oh, well, there's Dinah Shore.
Oh, tell me, do you two know each other, Miss Vane?
Oh, of course. She married one of my best dreams.
Miss Vague and I are old friends, Bob. We have adjoining ranches in the valley.
Yes, we do. Oh, I really love dancing, Dinah. It's so romantic.
I know. But don't you think you're going a little too far, Miss Vague, branding all your cattle with your phone number?
Do you know a better way to meet a nice cowboy? Okay, that reminds me. Mr. Holmes, did I tell you that my boyfriend Waldo lives here in Laguna?
Your boyfriend Waldo? Well, what's his last name, Miss Vague?
Well, he hasn't any. His mother wanted a dog. I'm only joking. His name is Waldo, and oh, he's happy every time he's with me.
How do you know, Miss Vague?
I can smell it on his breath. Yeah. I was going to say, Waldo, you know, is a very talented painter.
He's a painter, and he likes the bottle.
Huh? No, Mr. Hope, he doesn't like the bottle.
He doesn't?
No, now he buys it in a keg.
Well, he must paint with three feathers instead of a brush.
Oh, okay.
I'll take a quart. Where are you? Let me
see. Dinah, I want to tell you that I heard you tonight on the way down here, and I love your singing.
Oh, you're sweet.
You know, last year, I was with a traveling opera company. Oh, what fun I had appearing in Rossini's great opera.
William Tell?
No, but Frank blabbed a little.
Well, Well, look, if you like to sing, come along with us, Miss Vague. Dinah and I are going over to the Laguna Light Opera Company now and audition for parts.
Oh, I'd love to. Let's go.
The Laguna Light Opera. Here's the opera house.
Someone
auditioning before
the impresario now.
Figaro.
Next. Figaro. Impresario, why do you keep shooting all the singers?
Can't help it. I'm allergic to fish. Miss Vague, and on behalf of the entire staff, I welcome you to the Laguna Beach Dark Opera Company.
Professor, don't you mean the Laguna Beach Light Opera Company?
No, forgot to pay the electric bill. Oh, now pardon me while I continue the rehearsal. Once more, gentlemen. Pardon me, Hope, while I check the score. We're playing Rigoletto.
Anything wrong?
Plenty. We're losing.
Look, I have a couple of singers with me, Professor, and let's see if you can guess who they are.
La, la.
Why, that's Dinah Shaw. Couldn't be anyone but Shaw.
And now another voice.
La, 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 la.
Who's that, Professor?
The same Shaw, but at low tide.
I want to audition for your opera company, too, Clone. I'll give you a sample of my singing. What do you think? That was Il Trovatore.
You should have waited till he got better.
Hey, Professor, I didn't know you were conducting the Laguna Light Opera Company.
Why, this is my life. I love opera. It's in my blood. Why, when I close my eyes, I hear the habanera from Carmen, the triumphal march from Aida, the jewel song from Faust.
What do you hear from Madame Butterfly?
Nothing, and I'm getting worried.
Well, tell me, Professor, as a great opera impresario in the works of Wagner, which do you think is more distinctive, the weaving of leitmotifs into the orchestral fabric, that is, the use of a few notes to characterize personages and dramatic events, or the free use of bass clarinets and English horns together with chromatic harmonies and progressions employed at unorthodox intervals?
Pardon?
I said, in the works of Wagner...
Too late, the season is over.
Oh, Professor, we're all ready to sing now. Can't we do an opera now?
Oh, very well. We'll do the Laguna version of that famous opera, William Tell.
Okay, Professor, start the music.
I am William Tell, you know.
We know.
And I am his son, the Schmo.
The Schmo.
And I'm his girl, Esma.
Esma.
I stand by with the plasma.
Plasma.
Please don't shoot.
Shut up.
Don't shoot. My son.
Shut up.
My bones.
My head.
Shut up.
My knees, they shake.
Darling, you're standing at the door.
Ah, but I'm game right to the core. But if you die, it won't be such a loss.
Now a hush falls over the audience as William Tell Colonna walks to one side of the stage and his son to the other. They put an apple on his son Bob's head. William Tell draws back his bow and...
I will now put the arrow through the apple.
Oh. Professor, you shot Mr. Holt in the head.
Sorry, that stem on the front fooled me.
That's all, huh? You're a little late. I want to thank Dinah Shore for the use of her wonderful voice. And thanks to you people of Laguna Beach for turning out in behalf of your local youth center. It's people like you who are holding down the biggest job in America, the job of turning out good citizens. All over the USA today, good citizens turned out to celebrate Army Day. And I suppose you've noticed that Army Day comes during Boys Club Week. I can't say if there's an official reason for that, but I will say this. If you have a son in the Boys Club, consider yourself lucky. And if you have a son in the Army, be proud, because, mister, you have a son who belongs to the finest club in America. And that's all for tonight, except a last-minute word to the Army. Attention, next Tuesday night's guest, Lana Turner. Good night.
Next week, Lever Brothers Company, makers of Pepsodent, will bring you the Bob Hope Show with Bob's special guest, Lana Turner. Dinah Shore appeared tonight with the courtesy of the Philip Morris Show. Call for music.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony is operating.
Actually, this is not KFI. This is WHFR in Dearborn. That is where we are, and this is Radio Vault. Bob Hope there from April 6th of 1946. His guest was, as you heard, Dinah Shore. Well, I'll tell you what. That finishes off hour number one of today's Radio Vault extravaganza. What do we have on tap for you for the rest of today? We have got... Why don't we do Life with Luigi next? How does that grab you, huh? We'll do Life with Luigi, and we'll save Cordless Archer and Armis Brooks for later on. Once again, from the campus of Henry Ford College, we are WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. And Radio Vault, just for you. So Life with Luigi is next on the program.
I didn't want to talk. She just sat with me. That was all I really needed.
We got back. One day he called me out of the blue. And it's comforting to know that I always can count on him to have my back.
She called me from time to time. I really didn't think I needed any help.
It took me from being really depressed to feeling like somebody cared to give me some hope. Just that one text.
Be there. Your call. Your presence. Your words. Your support. Be there and help save a life. Learn more about preventing suicide at veteranscrisisline.net.
Do we have an obligation to be moral? How do we even know what is right or wrong?
Do we really have free will, or are the choices we make the result of causes and effects beyond our control?
Is my mind or soul a separate thing from my body, or just a function or product of my brain?
Are these the type of questions that interest you? Do you want to develop your skills in reasoning? Then you should check out the courses in philosophy that are offered at Henry Ford College. Philosophy deals with big perennial questions, questions that keep cropping up each generation because they are too big for one person or generation to answer completely. It is a quest to find the fundamental truths about our lives and our world through critical thinking. Henry Ford College regularly offers the following courses.
Introduction to Philosophy.
Introduction to Logic.
History of Philosophy.
Ethics and Eastern Philosophy.
These courses will help you earn your degree and will help shape your thought for the rest of your life. For more information about the philosophy courses at Henry Ford College, look online at hfcc.edu or contact Professor Ryan Scholler at rshowler@hfcc.edu.
Listen up. Every Monday night, start your week off right as we bring you Beats to the Rhymes. Only on 89.3, the station making waves. Mondays, 9 to 11 p.m. weekly. I'm your host, Sean Daniel. We'll play and discuss Detroit music, production, and lyrics. Listen anywhere online. Tap in at WHFR.FM, Dearborn, Detroit. First broadcast takes place Monday, Memorial Day, the 27th, 2024.
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to enjoy Life. Life with Luigi, a comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as the spokesman. Life with Luigi is a typically American radio program. A friendly, enjoyable show that sort of symbolizes the American spirit of tolerance and goodwill. And now let's read Luigi's letter as he writes about his adventures in America to his Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, today I was noticed something very strange about all the people. Everybody was looking sick with lines in their faces. I thought maybe it was the war or the atom bomb was worrying them. So I'm asking. Now I know why everybody looks so tired and worn out. They all are just to come back from their vacation. Here's the funny thing about the American. When he's going on his vacation, he's never laid down and take it easy. Nope. He's a dance, a swim, a run around, a go fishing, boating, a horseback riding, a play golf, a tennis, a baseball. It's a good thing American has only got 2 weeks of vacation. If he's got a four, he's got a nervous breakdown. But another funny thing about Americans. All year, they work. Then one day, everybody's a stop of work. And I guess what they call it. Labor Day. Well, Mamma Mia, not to me. Comes the Labor Day, I'ma work twice as hard. I was figuring out all the new antiques I would need for my new fall stock. But after I'ma figure it out, and I'ma figure how much money I'ma got to buy it, I'ma spend the whole day polishing up my old summer stock so it should look like my new fall stock. With me, the only thing that's a fall is my bank account. And I'm afraid there's a fall so hard as I'm not able to get up no more. If only there was some way I could get some extra money. Oh, excuse me, Mamma Mia. I see my countryman Pasquale. He's coming into my store, and I'm finished this a little late.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
What's the matter, little cabbage puss? Look so sad, dragging your nose between your ears.
Pasquale, I'm worried very much about my business.
Your business?
Yeah, all over I'm reading how business people, they're stocking up goods for the new fall season. And me, I'm got no money to buy more antiques.
Luigi, that's a talk for the birdies. Look at me. I own a spaghetti restaurant, right?
That's right.
Do you see me cooking 10,000 meatballs and stocking them up in my salad?
Yeah, but it's different with you, Pasquale. If you stock meatballs in your salad, they get stale and taste terrible.
So what? Do you ever hear the way my customers talk about my meatballs now?
Yeah, but you carry a little of everything, Pasquale. In my business, lady comes in, she asks if I'm got a colonial desk. Well, that's a sale if I'm a got, but if I ain't, then she's gonna get from a fella that's a got.
Ooh, what a double talk. Luigi, don't got me no ain't a got, please.
Besides, it's a very easy way out of your troubles.
Huh? You know what that is?
I was expecting that. You mean to marry your daughter?
Is there no doubts about it? Between those sideburns, there's a brain. That's all right. If you want to get a big stock, marry my daughter Rosa.
But Pasquale, that's no stock. That's a whole warehouse.
Luigi, you're a businessman, so look at it this way. When you marry a skinny girl, that's like you're invested in a small business. When you marry a girl like a Rosa, that's like a buying into General Motors.
Especially the trucking division.
All right, to be a wise guy, Mr. Dumbbell. But remember this, there's only a few ways a fella can get money in America. He can work harder for it. And you a bad example of that. Then there's four other ways. 3 is, he can beg, borrow, or steal it. Do you want to try one of those?
No.
Well, then you faced her with the last alternative. You can marry a nicer girl with a big, fat bank account.
You mean a bigger, fatter girl with a nicer bank account?
That's a funny thing. When I'm going to say it, it's a come out of different. Ah, what's the use of talking to you, Luigi? I'm a washing my hands off of your face. So goodbye.
No, no, no. Wait, Pasquale. Don't be mad. You know, I'm going to think of you like a father.
Father can't be a father without a son-in-law should be married to a daughter. That's a husbandry.
Yeah, but then
Luigi, my fellow boob.
Hello, Schultz.
Hello, Pasquale. Hello, Schultz. What's the matter? Was you two having a fight?
If we was, we don't need no referee.
But I don't like it, Pasquale. When I see you two fight, well, it's like a B-29 is attacking a kite.
No, we're not fighting, Schultz. I was asking a Pasquale advice, like from a father. But he says against the husbands, if he's going to be my father without a rose as a son-in-law, so I'm going to be his daughter.
Ach, Luigi, are you verschimmelt?
Come on with me. I stop by on the way to night school. We are late.
Oh, is it late already?
Yes.
I'm forgot all about the time.
Go, Luigi. Go ahead. Get advice from your classmates. They all are so smart, they're still in a two-A.
Yeah, but please, Pasquale.
No, please me now, please, Pasquale. Maybe Mr. Delicatessen, a man here, can show you how to make extra money. Stuffing a bologna or pouring a whiskey down the herring's throat. They should get pickled. If they're going to help you, Luigi, then I'm a monkey's uncle. Listen, you spaghetti salesman, don't brag. A monkey wouldn't have you for a relative. Who's talking? The whole neighborhood is talking about how you hoarding potato salad.
That's a lie. Now you take that back.
Please, wait. No fight. Pasquale, thanks for your help. Come on, Schultz, we go to night school.
All right, Luigi. Goodbye, meatball maker. Goodbye, pickle pusher.
Hey, Schultz, you think maybe somebody in the class is going to help me out to make some extra money so I'm going to buy full stock?
Now, sure, Luigi. I'm positive. Und smile, Luigi.
All right.
That's right. Be like me. Always happy, always laughing. My rheumatism is killing me.
All right, lad, quiet, please. Now I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Present.
Mr. Harwitz?
Present.
Mr. Olson?
Present.
Mr. Schultz?
Stop! This is where I get off. Thank you, fellow boobers. You know, a smile is like an umbrella on a rainy, rainy day. Yeah, and the way umbrellas are going up in price, it's cheaper to carry a smile.
Very good, Mr. Schultz. That was an excellent example of humor, philosophy, and economics. Now, suppose we find out how well you can do in arithmetic.
Miss Spalding, with me, that's a sore spot.
Well, then, spelling?
That's another sore spot.
History?
Himmel, today I'm just full of bruises.
I thought so. Well, then, let's continue our lesson for today in quiet...
Miss Spalding.
Oh, yes, Mr. Olson.
Miss Spalding, if you wish, I would be very happy to go into any of the subjects you just mentioned. I could go into arithmetic and dwell upon the various tables, multiplication, division, subtraction, and addition. Or I could go into spelling and dwell upon the various rules. Or I could go into history and dwell upon Washington's inaugural, Lincoln's assassination, or anything else, up to the last war and the defeat of the German generals.
Olsen, why don't you go into a deep freeze and just dwell there for a few months?
Last, please, we will have no more interruptions. Now we'll devote the rest of our time to some arithmetic problems.
Miss Spalding...
Mr. Basco, do you have a problem?
Yes. How am I going to make some extra money to buy antiques for the fall season?
Mr. Basco, that is not a problem.
I'm sorry, Miss Spalding, but I must disagree with you. That is a problem. A businessman must constantly refresh his stock, otherwise he can't exist.
Luigi, I got an idea.
Maybe you could get a job as a salesman.
Yeah, sure, that's right. We got to find a part-time salesman's job where no experience is necessary and you need only a little or no money to start.
Wait, I got it. Luigi, you're going to sell ice cream.
Huh? Oh, gee, that was a good idea. Yeah, everyone needs ice cream.
Yeah, and the weather is still hot enough.
Sure. And Luigi, you don't have to give up your business. Sunday, when you'll close, you go to the ice cream factory, buy as much as you have money for, and you're in business.
That's a wonderful idea, Mr. Horowitz. You don't need any experience, and on Sunday, everybody's out on the street.
Yeah. You could make it a clean-up, Luigi. You just have to holler, ice cream. Can you do that?
Sure.
Ice cream! Ice cream! Here you want to get the red hot ice cream? Yeah, but wait. Wait. I'm not got a truck to carry the ice cream.
Yeah, that's right.
Luigi, I will solve that for you. You can use my horse and wagon. It's Sunday and my milk company won't even know it's out of the garage. And you can even use the ice. You will be selling grade A ice cream.
Olsen, you got a big heart, but you make very small jokes. Oh, friends, you're wonderful. I don't know how I'm going to thank you.
Well, I do, and vanilla is my favorite flavor.
Luigi, I hope you make a big success.
Well, thanks, Horowitz. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to sell all of my ice cream in 1 hour. Then I'm going to go back and I get them more. Then I sell it back and I go back and I get it some more.
Oh, then you have to get extra trucks and hire people to work for you.
And you get so big, you'll give up your antique shop.
Oh, no. I'm going to never do that. No matter how big my ice cream business gets, I'm still going to have my antique shop.
Ach, I can just see it now when Luigi combines both businesses. It's going to be Luigi Basco's Antiques and Ice Cream. And for a trademark, he'll have a picture of Paul Revere zucking a bobsled.
And now let's turn to page 2 of Luigi Basco's letter to his mother in Italy.
And so, mamma mia, my classes give me a good idea how to make extra money to buy fall stock. Sell ice cream. Olsen is went with me to the milk company and gave me the horse and a wagon. He's introduced me to the horse and we get along fine. I'm going to go to the ice cream factory and spend $25 for ice cream. That was very nice to me there. They give me 4 cans of ice cream with 4 different flavors. Vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. And a new flavor I've never even heard of. Sherbet. This is sherbet I'm going to like, but I'm going to get the heart to return. Because I'm going to sell lots of cans in the factory, and if I tell them somebody's a spill of water in the ice cream, they're going to go out of business. Anyway, I'm going to drove out of the factory. It was a beautiful Sunday morning. And your son, Luigi, is a beginner's a new business, selling ice cream. Ice cream. Ice cream. Get you nice, fresh, cold, delicious ice cream. Is it good for you? Don't believe me. Ask your doctor. Is it good for you? Ice cream. All the kind of flavors. Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry. And for half a price, sherbet. Ice cream. Strawberry ice cream. Is it got a real strawberries across my heart? I'm no lie. Real strawberries, big like your thumb. Ice cream. Don't nobody want ice cream. Mamma mia, 2 hours, I'm in the streets. So far, there's only 3 ice creams sold. 1 to me and 2 to the horse. No more for you. You get the money, I'm giving you more. All right. I give you more. It's hard to refuse a horse. He doesn't understand the business. ¶¶ get the 3 scoops, vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Here you are. And it's the last one for you, Annabella. You hear me? Mamma mia, the way that horse eats is a wonder the milk company makes any money. Ice cream. Somebody please buy ice cream. Is it got a real strawberries? Honest. Each one as big as your fist. All right, Annabella, don't look at me like that. I'm going to say something so the people should buy.
Hey, mister.
Yes, yes. What the flavor you want, mister?
Can I have a dime for a cup of coffee?
You want the coffee?
Yeah.
Don't nobody in this neighborhood want ice cream?
Look, bud, I would appreciate a dime. I'm no tramp. I'm just weak from hunger. Weak, you know? Uh-huh. Hunger, you see? I'm down on my luck, and I could sure use a dime.
Oh, you poor man. Here. Here's the 2 dimes. Buy 2 cups of coffee.
Thanks. So long, friend. You'll be rewarded.
That's all right. Yeah, sure, that's all right. Goodbye. Poor fella, look at him. He's so weak from not eating, he's made a mistake and walking into a saloon instead of a restaurant. Well, I'm better try to sell him more ice cream. Come on, giddy up, Annabella. Giddy up. Ice cream. Ice cream. Ice cream. Mamma mia, maybe just when I'm going to business, everybody is an ice cream strike. Ice cream. Oh! Hey, little boy.
Yeah?
Maybe you like some nice, delicious, good ice cream.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's wonderful. Little boy, you're just the saving my life.
Huh? Hey, Roman Mitchell, come here. Here's some ice cream.
Oh, come on. Call out the little bambino, little boy.
Okay. Hey, kids, come here. Ice cream.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. What flavor you want? The chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry?
You got tutti frutti.
Tutti what?
Tutti frutti.
Is it something like a sherbet?
No, it's got fruit in it. Like strawberry.
Oh, this summer got. You want 1 bowl or 2?
2.
Good, good. Everybody's going to get the 2. All right? Here you are.
Gee, thanks.
And for you? And for you, little fella. And you too, huh? And you over there. He's good, huh?
Yeah.
All of these kids, are they your friends, little boy?
No. Ronald's my sister, and Mitchell's my little brother.
And today's Mitchie's birthday. He's 4 years old.
4? Well, how do you like that? That's a good thing you all got ice cream. I eat the ice cream with you. And I even give my horse Annabella. She's helping Mitchie celebrate his birthday. Come on, kids. Come on, everybody. We all sing a happy birthday to this big bambino, Mitchie.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, love for you. Happy birthday, dear Mitchie. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's nice. That's so nice. That's good. Well, now I'm going to figure out everything. Let me see. That's a 1. That was a 2, 3, 4, and a 5. And then it's a 6. It comes a 10. And it was a 18. 18 children with a double ice cream cones. Now, who's going to pay for all of this?
Hey.
Sure, ice cream is a cost of money. Everybody knows that.
We don't have any money.
Oh, you don't? What?
You asked me if I wanted some ice cream, so I said sure.
Mamma mia.
Don't tell my mama me.
She's begging when she finds out we ate ice cream.
Oh, it's so bad. All right. Stop, everybody. gonna cry. I'm gonna like to see little bambini cry. Besides, we all had a good time, so I'm gonna pay for everybody. Here, met you another corner for your birthday. Giddy up, Annabelle, the party's over.
Goodbye, children.
You got any ice cream?
Huh? Ice cream? I'm a got nothing. Come on, get up, Annabella. We're not taking any more chances with the kids today. Ice cream. All day long, all of my soldiers are $3 worth. Unless the President of Truman is asking me for special government order, I'm going to see how I'm going to make a profit of that. Or maybe I'm going to sell some of this beautiful park. Oh, it's a nice music. Mamma mia. Look at that crowd. Must have been 10,000 people at that concert. If I can only sell it just the one ice cream, then everybody's going to get jealous and I'm going to sell out everything. I'm going to climb. I'm going to climb up here in the back and behind the benches. Ice cream. Hey, mister, you want a nice, cool ice cream on this hot afternoon?
What? For goodness sake, be quiet.
I'm sorry. Hey, lady, maybe you do me a favor and buy ice cream. Is it go fine with the music?
How dare you be quiet.
Ice cream, anybody? Ice cream. Please buy ice cream.
Hey, you selling ice cream?
Yes, yeah, sure. Sure, officer. You want, I'm sure to give you some.
No, but I want to give you something. Come on, bud.
What's the charge, officer?
Your Honor, I found this man peddling ice cream without a license.
Yeah, but that's not all that's on a ticket, Judge. Is it said peddling without a food handler's a permit, disturbing a peace, walking on the grass, stealing a horse in a wagon, and a property damage.
Property damage? What was that?
The horse ate the policeman's hat. You see, Judge, Your Honor, I'm holding nothing back. I'm telling everything. That's because someday I'm going to be a citizen. And I'm going to keep the record clean.
Your Honor, may I say something?
And what is it, officer?
The charges aren't as serious as they appear. This man just wanted to make a little extra money. He borrowed the horse and wagon from a friend. As for my hat, well, it was an old one anyway. And as long as the horse coughed up the badge, it's okay.
Well, under those circumstances, I'll make this as light a sentence as possible. $10 or 10 days.
Oh, thank you, Judge, for such a light a sentence. But I'm afraid it's not so good. I'm only got $3.
Oh. Well, I hate to send you to jail, Mr. Basco. Can you borrow this money from a friend?
Oh, sure, Judge. Can I ask my friend, Pasquale?
Oh, certainly.
Hey, Pasquale. Pasquale, will you lend me $7?
It's a pleasure, Luigi. Judge, that's my best friend. I'm lending him the money. And I want a condition.
What condition is that?
I call in the condition. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me, Papa!
My little bail bond. Rosa, say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Luigi.
Hello, Rosa.
Well, Luigi, what do you say, my son?
Judge, which way is it to jail?
Mr. Basco, you've been peddling ice cream all day. Didn't you sell $10 worth of ice cream?
Well, you see, Judge, maybe I would have had more money, but I'm going to give it to a poor man, 2 dimes for coffee. Then there's some little children that was celebrating a boy's birthday. And they all took ice cream. And we got such a nice party, lots of fun, and we're singing. But they only little bambini, and they got no money to pay for the ice cream. What am I can do? Where's the little children?
Well, we need $7. Say, I've been sitting here all day, and I feel like some refreshment. How about an ice cream cone?
I'm a sorry, Judge. I'm a don't have a license.
Well, that's all right. How about you, officer?
I get it, Judge. I'll take a dollar's worth.
That's wonderful. What a flavor you want, the vanilla?
Bailiff?
Same for me.
Good. Everybody in the court will have some. $7 worth.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Case dismissed. Recess declared while we all go out for some ice cream.
And so, Mamma Mia, this letter shows you once more what a wonderful country is America. Where a little fella like me gets arrested and ends up sitting on a sidewalk eating ice cream with a judge. Which goes to show in America, they not only examine a ticket, they examine a person. But it was a lucky thing I was a have a sherbet. It was the judge's favorite. You loving a son of Luigi Basco, little immigrant.
Folks, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum hope you enjoyed tonight's episode of Life with Luigi. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum invite you to listen next week at this time when Luigi Basco writes another letter to his Mama Basco in Italy. Life with Luigi is produced and directed by Cy Howard. Mac Benoff writes the script with Lou Derman. J. Carol Nash is starred as Luigi Basco with Alan Reed as Pasquale, Hans Conried as Schultz, Jody Gilbert as Rosa, Mary Shipp as Miss Spaulding, Joe Forte as Horowitz, and Ken Peters as Olsen. Music directed by Lud Buskin. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, Alan Reed. There's a name you might remember, or maybe not, from the Flintstones cartoon show. I think he played Fred Flintstone. Well, he was Pasquale on Life with Luigi. Original broadcast date on that, September 5, 1950. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Radio Vault. Until 1 o'clock, when usually we have Strictly Gospel. We hope you can all hang around for that. We're going to take a listen to Cordless Archer for our next feature. We normally do comedies and dramas and variety shows on Tuesday. And as always, if you like mysteries, that comes your way Sunday night mysteries. Here on 89.3, thanks for hanging with us. Live and direct from Henry Ford College. Meet Cordless Archer is coming up.
Just texting you back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Founded in 2016 and sponsored by the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Detroit Promise ensures that any student graduating from any high school in the city of Detroit will have a tuition-free path to an associate degree or technical certificate. Henry Ford College has been a proud participant in the Detroit Promise since the beginning. With 66% of all Detroit Promise students attending HFC, it is the largest Detroit Promise enrollment of any college. For more information, visit hfcc.edu/Detroit-Promise or DetroitPromise.com today.
Take your favorite non-commercial radio station with you wherever you go with the WHFR radio app, now available for free in the Google Play Store. After installing the app, you can listen to WHFR live to your Android device anywhere in the world. There are also articles posted by WHFR staff and the latest updates to the WHFR schedule. WHFR to go, free delivery, now available on the WHFR app and the Google Play Store.
Now, meet Carlos Archer. Last week found the Archers and Dexter still visiting in New York. They've all had a chance to get a little more acclimated. And as far as Corliss is concerned, although New York has lived up to her most glamorous dreams, she has been experiencing a growing feeling of dissatisfaction. As she put it to her mother and father yesterday at breakfast at their hotel.
So, of course, it's been wonderful and exciting, and I'll never be able to thank you enough for bringing me here, but I'd hoped that by now I would have met some of New York's glamorous men.
Men?
Oh, yes. The kind that go to the Stork Club and El Morocco and those places. The older ones.
Older men?
Yes, around 20. Or even 21. The glamorous, exciting ones that play polo and get divorced and smoke pipes.
Any guy that smokes a pipe while playing polo deserves to be divorced.
Oh, Daddy, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Do you?
Of course I do. Every place we go in New York, theaters, restaurants, concerts, we see these wonderful, sophisticated men. And all I can do is look at them.
Well, what do you want to do, marry them?
Oh, Daddy, don't you see? It's like ordering a luscious double-dip chocolate ice cream soda and trying to drink it with your hands tied behind your back in the store fresh out of straws.
Well, now, really, Corliss, aren't you forgetting about Dexter?
Dexter?
Well, yes. I thought he was your double-dip ice cream soda.
Dexter. In the drugstore of glamour, he's just a short Coke.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
What's the matter with Dexter?
Well, you ought to know. You're always bawling him out for something.
Oh, we have our differences, but all in all, I think Dexter's a good, solid kid.
Well, you certainly wouldn't call him glamorous, would you? Or breathtakingly handsome, would you?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I've often wondered when he was born, how did the doctor know which end to slap? But he's a good kid, and he's certainly your faithful slave, and I don't think you ought to sell him short.
No, Dexter's all right, but he doesn't fit in with the glamour of New York. I thought that while I was here, I'd meet at least one playboy, somebody who would...
Oh, come back down to earth. I've got to run, Janet. I've got an appointment with Mr. Ellis. And, you know, we're having dinner with him and his wife at 7.
Yes, I'll be ready.
And you've got the tickets for the children for the opera tonight?
Yes.
Oh, I wish I didn't have to go to the opera with Dexter. That's such a glamorous place, and there'll be all those glamorous people there. I should be going with a rich, exciting playboy.
Well, just for tonight, make believe Dexter is a rich, exciting playboy.
The opera divine. Wasn't that simply the most glorious, thrilling music you ever heard in your life? And the singing. Those voices.
I'll take Spike Jones.
Oh, Dexter, really, I don't think that's funny at all.
I'm not trying to be funny. I mean it. I thought the whole thing was ridiculous.
Ridiculous? The opera?
Yeah. That tenor singing that he was going to carry that soprano off to the mountains. Did you get a load of the size of that dame? Carry her, he couldn't drag her. Well, she'd be better off if she spent less time on that mountain and more time on a Chiron reducing plant.
You're impossible. That was a beautiful love song. You just haven't got the sensitivity to understand it.
The only thing I don't understand is how that tenor could love a dame that fat. What a figure. I'm not kidding. I got pretty sick of sitting there looking at a pot that big without any flowers in it.
Dexter, do you have to exaggerate so much? before I knew going to the opera with you was going to be a mistake. You don't belong in an atmosphere like that. Why, you didn't even wear a tuxedo. And all those glamorous men were wearing tails.
Yeah? Well, nobody in my family has worn tails since they came down out of a tree. That's a crazy idea, wearing tails.
Oh, let's not even talk about it. You don't belong in New York. You're too unsophisticated, too unglamorous. The next time I go to the opera, it's going to be with a real New York sophisticate.
What makes you think a guy like that would want to go with you?
Oh, so you think I'm not attractive to other men?
I didn't say that. All I said was...
For your information, Dexter Franklin, just about the most handsome man I ever saw in my life looked at me during intermission.
Well, what if he looked at you? It's a free country.
I think he smiled at me.
Oh, Charlotte, the way you...
Good evening, Miss Archer.
Huh?
Enjoy the opera?
What? Oh, yes, it was divine.
Well, performance, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Well, good night.
Good night.
Who was that guy? Oh. What's the matter? You look sick.
Dexter, that was him.
Who was who?
That man, the one who said hello to me. That was the one that smiled at me during intermission.
Well, who is he?
I don't know.
Seems to me I've seen him before.
Oh, I thought so, too. Isn't he just the most luscious thing you ever saw?
Well, frankly, no. He's not my type.
Maybe he's a movie star.
What movie star?
Oh, I don't know. He sort of looks like Gregory Peck.
That wasn't Gregory Peck.
Well, how do you know? I read that all the stars look different off the screen.
Not that different. That wasn't Gregory Peck.
Well, I know. I've seen him before.
Yeah, I think I have, too. Anyway, what was the idea of him saying hello to you if he doesn't know you? Maybe I should have poked him in the snoot.
Oh, Dexter, don't be childish. Oh, don't you see how romantic it is? He went to all the trouble to find out my name just so he could say hello to me.
Yeah? Well, I'm not sure I like that.
I know I've seen him. Or maybe I saw his picture in the papers. Maybe he's a New York stage actor. Or maybe I saw his picture on the society page. I'll bet that's it. I'll bet he's a rich playboy with all the debutantes in New York throwing themselves at his feet.
Then his feet must have something he hasn't got because I don't think he's that hot.
Oh, this is too thrilling. A man like that interested in me.
Glad to see this hotel again. Believe me, I didn't enjoy that subway ride. Couldn't you talk about anything else except that guy that said hello to you?
I'm sure that if I went to the opera with him, he wouldn't take me home in a subway.
Oh, holy cow, Corliss, cut it out. How do you suppose it makes me feel to have you all the time talking about how wonderful some other guy is? A guy you don't even know. You know how I feel about you. The way you keep talking
well,
about...
Well, hello again, Miss Archer.
Huh? Oh, yes, hello again.
Look.
Wasn't the opera simply divine? Wasn't it just too thrilling? Don't you simply love opera? Wasn't the music glorious? Wasn't that aria just
yes,
too...
Yes, I enjoyed it very much. Well, I'll see you later. Good night, Miss Archer.
Oh, golly.
Corliss.
Golly.
Now, look, Corliss.
He followed me. He's intrigued. Did you hear what he said?
What?
He said... I'll see you later.
Look, if he's trying to pick you up, I'm going to sign.
I'll see you later. He found out my name. Now he's found out where I live, and he wants to see me again. Oh, Dexter, it's heaven. It's a dream come true.
Stop working yourself into a lather.
I'm not in a lather.
Oh, you are, too. When we stopped in that drugstore after the opera, what did you have, a malted or a bottle of Fitz shampoo?
Oh, and, Mom, I just can't tell you how dreamy looking he is.
Speaking of dreams, let's turn in. It's getting late.
Oh, Daddy, I couldn't go to sleep now. I'm too excited.
Now, Corliss, be sensible. Don't try to make something out of nothing.
Nothing? How can you call this nothing? It's romance, intrigue, glamour. We can't fight this thing. It's too big.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What's too big?
Love.
Love? Where did that come in? Who said anything about love?
Nobody said anything about it. But what the heart knows needn't be said.
And what does the heart know?
Oh, Daddy, don't you see? It must be love. Or else, why would he find out who I am and then follow me back here to the hotel instead of staying home and drinking champagne on his polo ponies?
This is the craziest polo team I've ever heard of. First, it was a guy who smoked a pipe while playing polo. Now, it's a guy who drinks champagne while playing polo. That polo team sure must have a tough time winning games.
Oh, Daddy.
How do you know this gent drinks champagne? And how do you know he has polo ponies?
All millionaire playboys do.
Well, how do you know he's a millionaire playboy?
Well, I don't care if he's not a playboy. I don't care if he's just a plain, common, ordinary millionaire.
Of course, he couldn't be just a plain, common, ordinary bum.
No.
How do you know?
One senses these things.
Does one, really? All I sense is a lot of nonsense going on around here. And where does Dexter fit into this picture?
Poor Dexter. Just a piece of flotsam and jetsam on the sea of a great romance, cast adrift by the backwash of a better man.
How do you know he's a better man? You don't even know the guy's name. You may never see him again.
I will. The stars that guide our destinies can't be that cruel.
Well, before you cast old Flotsam and Jetsam Franklin adrift, you'd better be a little surer of your champagne-swigging horseman. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Daddy, please, don't compare an eagle with an ugly duckling.
Mr. Rogers, he hasn't stopped talking about the guy all day. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Dexter.
You can't know, Mr. Archer. You don't know what it's like to be in love. You're married.
Well, that doesn't necessarily follow. But let's not go into that now. Well, come on, let's go in. Mrs. Archer and Corliss are waiting up in the room for dinner.
Oh, Mr. Archer, don't tell Corliss that I... Mr. Archer.
What?
There he is.
Who?
The guy. There he is again. He must be waiting for Corliss.
Where?
Right over there.
That fellow there?
Yeah.
That's the millionaire playboy?
Yeah. What's the joke?
Don't you know who that is?
No, who is it?
That's one of the hotel elevator boys.
I know I'd seen him before.
Well, sure, you just didn't recognize him out of his uniform. He's probably waiting to go on duty.
Oh, boy. Wait till I tell Corliss about this.
Wait a minute, Dexter. I've got a better idea. Don't tell Corliss.
But Mr.
No, not yet. Corliss has been treating you pretty badly in this affair. She's been driving me a little nuts, too. And I think we can teach her a lesson. Corliss, do you think it's fair to keep Dexter hanging until you find out whether this new romance of yours is going to work out?
How do you mean?
I mean, if you intend to go ahead with this thing, you ought to make a clean break with Dexter.
But, Daddy, I've known Dexter all my life, and he's been so good to me.
That's exactly what I mean. He deserves a square deal, whether you love him anymore or not.
You think I should give him up entirely? I hate to hurt Dexter.
Well, that's the only thing to do, Corliss. Tell him right now that you and he are through, completely and forever.
But what if my new romance doesn't materialize? Then I'll be left high and dry.
Well, that's the chance you have to take.
Poor Dexter. I hope this doesn't wound him too deeply. Golly, you sure have a complicated life when you're a fatally attractive woman.
Remember, Corliss, you've got to tell Dexter you're giving him up forever.
Well, all right, Daddy. The only thing is...
Hi, Corliss. Oh, hello, Mr. Archer.
Hello, Dexter.
I think I'll leave you two alone. Corliss has something to say to you, Dexter.
You, have something to say to me?
Yes, Dexter. I don't know how I'm...
It's funny, because I have something to say to you, too.
What?
I've decided to give you up.
What?
Yes, Corliss. It's the only fair thing to do.
But...
This new love of yours is obviously bigger than all of us. It's too big. We can't fight it.
But you're not supposed to give me up. I'm supposed to give you up.
No, no, Corliss. I've seen this thing coming ever since we've been in New York. This, smart sophistication is all right for you. But it's not for me. No, I'll go back to our little small town and live out my little unsophisticated life there. As for you, well, I can just picture you in the atmosphere where you really belong. A glass of champagne in one hand, a polo pony in the other. Laughing gaily as you say, yachting anyone? I won't try to keep you from all that.
Corliss, Dexter and I have a very nice surprise for you.
You'll like this.
What is it?
Well, it occurred to me that, after all, we're going home in a few days, and it would be tragic if you and your new love hadn't progressed past exchanging a few hellos.
Truly tragic.
You two should meet formally before we leave, and then perhaps he could visit us at home occasionally. You know, fly out for a weekend in his own private plane.
But sure, and I'll help entertain him.
Oh, Dexter, he wouldn't be interested in the things you're interested in.
No, I guess you're right. He seems too high class. I bet he even burps with a broad A.
He was in the lobby again today, Corliss, and Dexter very kindly pointed him out to me, so I took the liberty of introducing myself, and I've invited him in for tea this afternoon.
Daddy, you're joking. Well, this is too serious.
No, we're not joking, Corliss. He'll be here pretty soon.
Oh, golly, Dexter. You did this just for me.
Sure. It's the least a flotsam can do for a jetsam.
Oh, you're both wonderful. I'm going to run down to the flower store in the lobby to get a flower for my hair.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Daddy. I'll be right back. Oh, and Dexter.
Yes, Corliss.
Thank you, too. You're a faithful old dear.
Well, Mr. Archer, I think it's going to work.
It'll work.
Oh, boy. Just wait till we tell her that her millionaire playboy is nothing but an elevator operator.
Well, Miss Archer, buying flowers, I see.
Huh? Oh, hello.
We meet sooner than I expected.
Oh, yes. My father told me you were coming to tea.
Yes, I was on my way up. I just got through work and I...
Work?
Well, I call it work. I suppose it's not exactly back-breaking labor.
Somehow I can't think of you working, but I suppose your business is very profitable?
Well, it has its ups and downs. But I always say there's nothing like starting on the ground floor and working your way up.
You don't work very much. After all, you have to have time for your social activities.
Oh, the hours aren't bad. I don't have to worry about that. We have a strong union.
Oh, I see.
No, CIO.
Oh. Just exactly what sort of work do you do?
Are you joking, Miss Archer? I'm sure you've seen me at work.
Well, I thought I had. Was it in a movie?
Are you kidding? I'm one of the hotel elevator operators.
So that's what we're going to do, Janet. It'll teach Corliss a good lesson.
You mean Corliss doesn't know he's an elevator operator?
No, she thinks he's a millionaire. Boy, I can't wait to see her face when she finds out.
Well, I'm not sure I like this, Harry.
Look, Janet. Corliss simply has to learn to stop flying off into these romantic fantasies of hers.
Well, perhaps, but I think you're being very cruel.
Well, holy cow, I wouldn't want to hurt Corliss. You know that.
Well, neither would I. But I don't think this is that serious. All I want to do is to get her to start acting a little more sensibly.
Me too.
Of course, Dexter, if she ever gets too sensible, she'll realize that you're no great catch. But that's a chance we have to take.
Well, I don't like the whole thing.
Well, it's too late now to...
Hi, Daddy.
Hello, Mr. Archer.
Well, I see you two have met already.
Oh, yes. Just now in the flower shop.
May I present my wife? Janet, this is Farley Patterson.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And Dexter Franklin.
How do you do?
Hi.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you. Well, I hope you're all enjoying New York. Sure is a great place to spend a vacation.
Oh, did you spend your vacations here?
I still do. I'm on vacation now.
Holy cow. You mean you're still going to school?
Yes, I'm in my junior year at Yale.
What?
Yale?
Why, yes.
Yale, huh? Don't you believe it, Corliss. This guy's no millionaire playboy. He's just an elevator jockey.
Well, yes, that's right. I'm trying to learn the hotel business.
Well, that's very admirable.
That's the business I'd like to go into after I graduate.
Oh, I see. How did you happen to pick the hotel business?
Oh, my father's in the hotel business. You see, my father owns this hotel.
What? Oh, holy cow. You know something, Mr. Archer?
What?
This guy's our landlord.
Harry.
Yes, Janet?
And of course, Corliss, your father and Dexter didn't know that Farley's father owns this hotel. They thought he was just an ordinary elevator operator.
That's what I figured they thought.
Did it come as much of a surprise to you when Dexter told you the boy was an elevator operator?
Oh, no, I already knew that.
What?
Well, yes, I'd been talking to Farley in the lobby before he came up, and he told me.
Oh, well then, why didn't you tell your father you knew it?
I figured he was up to one of his schemes, so I just thought I'd turn the tables on him.
That was pretty clever of you.
Oh, I'm learning from you, Mom. I'm getting to know how to handle men.
I think you are at that. The tables certainly were turned on your father and Dexter this time. I'll never forget the way they looked when Farley told them his father owns the hotel.
That was funny.
But you didn't seem very surprised. Had you known that, too, before Farley came up?
No. And neither had he.
What do you mean?
His father doesn't own the hotel at all, and he doesn't go to Yale or any of the rest of that stuff.
What?
No, I just told him to say all those things so that instead of Daddy and Dexter having the laugh on me, I'd have the laugh on them, and Dexter would remain my faithful slave.
Corliss, I've tried to teach you about handling men, but from now on, maybe you better start teaching me.
We have presented Meet Corliss Archer with Janet Waldo as Corliss, Sam Edwards as Dexter, and Irene Tendreau and Fred Shields as Mr. and Mrs. Archer.
Of course, that is the Armed Forces Radio Service version of Meet Corliss Archer. That show is actually NBC's answer to the CBS show A Date with Judy. And we are going to be hearing A Date with Judy in just a moment. And a quick reminder, you're in tune with WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. This is Radio Vault. 12 noon, getting ready to kick off our final hour of classic entertainment. And we do this every Tuesday between 10 in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. for comedy, variety, some romance, and an occasional drama. And if you like the harder stuff, the mysteries, the more drawn-out dramas and detectives, we do that on Sunday night. Here on the station that makes waves, WHFR Dearborn 89.3. And we're gonna pause and once again get ready for our Miss Brooks coming up.
Damage caused by tornadoes is devastating and traumatic. After these storms, dishonest contractors show up, hoping to make a quick buck from your insurance claim. They'll promise anything if they can get you to sign a contract, collect your payment in advance, and ultimately do no work at all. Avoid being the victim of contractor fraud. Get estimates from at least 3 contractors. Check references, and remember, if you didn't request it, reject it.
To report fraud, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. This is a public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Henry Ford College's Mirror News is looking for new writers. The newspaper is student-run and a great opportunity for budding journalists to gain experience. The Mirror News covers a variety of topics such as politics, new restaurants, art exhibits, local events, and recent films. If you would like to share your talents, email Dr. Kim at pkim@hfcc.edu or the editor at editor@hfcc.edu. See yourself in the Mirror News.
Susan McGraw here, inviting you to join me every Friday afternoon from 1 until 2 p.m. for the WHFR Journal. Local news and views, information about our campus community and our community at large, events that are coming up, opportunities to participate in, as well as information and interviews that might just make life a little bit easier. Every Friday, 1 until 2 p.m., the WHFR Journal, only here on 89.3 FM. Join us.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Not very many of us like to get up early in the morning, but our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, doesn't seem to mind at all.
No, in fact, I get quite a kick out of waking up in the morning because it offers proof positive that I managed to live through the day before. However, last Wednesday, my landlady, Mrs. Davis, woke me at what seemed like an excessively early hour.
Connie, get up, Connie.
Why?
Because it's 6 a.m. and I'm leaving the house early, and there are several things I want you to do for me.
Like what, for instance?
Like feeding our cat Minerva at 7:05.
But why don't you feed her now?
Why, Connie, you ought to know better than that. Minerva never gets up until 7.
I'm sorry, I lost my head. That cat certainly doesn't lead a dog's life. But why are you leaving the house so early, Mrs. Davis?
I've got to visit my sister Angela. I received a message from her during the night.
Oh? I hope nothing's wrong.
No, she's quite well, she said. She just wants to see me.
She must have called pretty late. I didn't hear the phone ring at all.
Oh, she didn't phone, Connie.
Was it a wire?
No.
Special delivery letter?
No.
Walkie-talkie? Pigeon? I use up my 20 questions. How did you hear from your sister?
Well, you know how absent-minded Angela is.
Yes.
And you probably haven't noticed it, but lately I've been growing quite absent-minded, too.
I've noticed it.
Last night, I finally arrived at a point where Angela and I were tuned to the same wavelength. She reached me by mental telepathy.
How did she come over, AM or FM?
You can joke if you like, but I know just as surely as I'm standing here that Angela wants to see me immediately. So I'll have to leave right after breakfast.
All right, Mrs. Davis. It'll do you good to get out of the house for a change anyway. Now, what did you want me to do for you?
Do for me?
Yes. You said when you woke me that there were several things you wanted me to do?
I did.
Yes. In connection with your leaving the house this morning?
But I didn't leave the house this morning.
I know, but you're going to.
I am.
I must be tuned in on the wrong wavelength. I'll see you at breakfast, Mrs. Davis.
Well, how did you like your breakfast, Connie?
Fine, Mrs. Davis. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get ready to go to school. Mr. Boynton's picking me up.
Oh, good. Well, I'll finish these dishes before I go, Connie.
Oh, I'll get it. Coming. Well, if it isn't our school custodian, Mr. Jensen.
If it isn't your school custodian, Mr. Jensen, then what? When you opened the door, you said, well, if it isn't our school custodian, Mr. Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, if it isn't your school custodian, Mr. Jensen, then what? Catching people saying things that don't take any real meaning is a hobby of mine.
Oh, that's very cute, Mr. Jensen. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you, Miss Brooks.
Oh, that's better.
What's better?
Look, Mr. Jensen.
Look at what?
I don't mean look, I mean listen. I'm in kind of a hurry.
What kind?
The usual kind, to leave the house and get to school. Therefore, your hobby doesn't have the charm for me it might have at some other time.
I guess you've got me there.
Where? Oh, great. Mr. Jensen, what can I do for you?
Well, you can open up the school this morning, if you will, Miss Brooks. I talked to Mr. Conklin on the phone, and he said to give you the key.
Oh.
Here it is. It's this fat little devil with the blue ribbon on it.
Oh, I thought that was your tie. Oh. Oh, you mean the key to the school. But why don't you open up as usual?
Oh, because I have another stop to make before I go to school that might cause me to be tardy.
Another stop?
Yes, the maternity hospital. My wife is going to have a baby.
Why, Mr. Jensen?
Well, I don't know, just because I... It's our sixth child, Miss Brooks.
Honestly, Mr. Jensen?
Well, I didn't steal them, if that's what you... Well, I'd better be getting along now. My wife will be expecting me. She's sort of used to having me around.
I imagine she is, Mr. Denton. Please accept my heartiest best wishes for both of you.
Oh, thank you, Miss Brooks. May I remind you to be prompt in opening the school? I wouldn't want Mr. Conklin and the students to be kept waiting.
No, they won't be, Mr. Jensen. And be sure and let me know whether your wife has a boy or a girl.
I will, Miss Brooks.
Good day, Mr. Jensen.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I'll just put this key on the hall table here so I don't forget it.
Connie, will you come into the kitchen a moment, please?
Yes, Mrs. Davis.
I'm all finished with the dishes, and I'd like to leave immediately. Now, Connie, when you wake Minerva, be sure to wake her gently. She's been quite sensitive about noise ever since she fell into my new Speed Queen washing machine.
I don't know why. It did a very good job on her. But I'll be careful not to upset her, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, here's Minerva now. Good morning, dear.
How did you sleep?
Meow, meow.
I'm glad. Well, I'll be running along now. You'll give Minerva her milk, won't you, Connie?
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Davis. Remember me to your sister Angela, if you remember.
I will, dear. Put a little cream in with the milk. She likes it that way.
All right, Mrs. Davis. That is, if we have any cream. Here we are. No cream left. She'll have to drink it black. I'll just pour the milk into this dish. There you are, Minerva. There isn't any cream left, Minerva. We'll have cream for you tomorrow. Drink that milk or I'll turn on the washing machine. Yeah.
I'm on my way out anyway. Oh, come in, Mr. Boynton.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Davis. You're leaving the house so early?
Yes. Let's see if I've got everything. My purse, my hat, my shoes, and... Oh, yes, now I'm all set. You'll find Miss Brooks in the kitchen, Mr. Boynton. I'm going over to see my sister Angela.
Oh, say hello for me.
Hello.
I mean to your sister, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Boynton. Goodbye.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Boynton. Would you like a cup of coffee?
Oh, yes, thanks. Will you join me?
I'd love to.
Here, I'll pour. I ran into Mr. Jensen down the block. Cream?
Yes, please.
He told me his wife was going to have a baby.
I think large families are wonderful. When I meet the right man, if I haven't already met him, I'll want to get married and have several children of my own.
Sugar?
Yes, Mr. Boynton. I mean, yes.
Say, look at the clock. We'd better hurry with this coffee.
Oh, you're so right, Mr. Boynton. And before we go, I'd better unlock the back door. Mrs. Davis invariably forgets her key.
Oh, she didn't forget it this time. When she was leaving, I noticed she took a little fat one off the hall table.
She took the little fat... Mr. Boynton, that was the key to the school. Mr. Jensen asked me to open up this morning.
Oh, no, Miss Brooks.
Oh, yes, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, gosh. Pretty soon, Mr. Conklin and all the students will be arriving at school and nobody will be able to get in. Mr. Conklin will be furious at you.
Don't remind me. I can see the sparks flashing from his tongue already. Gee, I'm in quite a spot, aren't I? Aren't I? That shows how upset I am, Mr. Boynton. An English teacher should never be guilty of saying, aren't I?
But, Miss Brooks, what about school? Suppose we hurry over and...
Aren't
explain,
is please. Merely the contraction of are not. Therefore, one who says, aren't I, is guilty of saying, are not I.
Miss Brooks, what about...
The correct form is, am I not? Aren't I, being nothing more than an absurd and altogether ungrammatical affectation.
Miss Brooks, what about school?
I ain't going.
Starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment, but first...
Well, I finally decided to face the music, even though I knew that the music would consist of some angry pear-shaped tones emanating from Mr. Conklin's pear-shaped head. By the time Mr. Boynton dropped me off, there were so many students milling around dear old Madison High that it looked like a training school for young pickets. I found Mr. Conklin pacing up and down outside his office windows.
Ah, there you are, Miss Brooks.
Good morning, Mr. Conklin.
It's about time. Now then, if you'll give me the key.
The key?
Yes, the key. Let me have it.
I'll let you have it as quickly as possible. There is no key.
No key? But Mr. Jensen was supposed to
be... He did. But then I put it on a table in the hall, and Mrs. Davis took it with her to her sister Angela's. It wasn't really my fault, Mr. Conklin.
I don't care whose fault it was. We've got to get into this school, and quickly. You see, Miss Brooks, the Board of Education is presenting Madison High with a plaque today.
A plaque? For what, Mr. Conklin?
It's an award for the best attendance record of any high school in the county.
Why, that's wonderful. Congratulations, Mr. Conklin.
Thank you, Miss Brooks, but I'd rather receive your felicitations inside my office instead of out here.
That's your phone, isn't it, Mr. Conklin?
Yes, it is. But thanks to your far-sighted suggestion after those two boxes of chalk disappeared, ours is the only school with a double lock on the front door and bars on all the windows. I can't get in to answer it.
Well, maybe it isn't important, Mr. Conklin.
I think I know who's calling, Miss Brooks. It's the Board of Education. They want to know when I'm going to hold an assembly.
An assembly?
Yes, Miss Brooks. They want to give us a plaque for perfect attendance, and nobody's in school to answer the phone.
Oh, please, Mr. Conklin, try to be calm. We'll think of something. Maybe I could call Mrs. Davis when she gets to her sister's. No, Angela has no phone. I know. I'll go out to her house.
You'll do no such thing, Miss Brooks. We'll need every teacher we've got to set up classes on the athletic field.
Hello, Daddy. Miss Brooks. Don't you think it's time we're getting into school?
Now, that's an excellent suggestion, Harriet.
Miss Brooks hasn't got the key.
Wait a minute. You drive, don't you, Harriet?
Well, certainly, Miss Brooks. Can I go somewhere for you?
You'll stay right here, Harriet. There must be someone else you can send, Miss Brooks.
How about my dream boat, Walter Denton?
Dreamboat? He's an idiot.
But, Daddy, Walter's a wonderful driver. He'll pick up the key wherever it is and have it back here in nothing flat.
Nothing but his head, that is. Well, maybe that's a good idea. Miss Brooks, get Denton to drive out to wherever Mrs. Davis is. At least his brain is expendable.
All right, Mr. Conklin. I'll look for Walter and ask him to go after the key.
You won't have to look for him, Miss Brooks. Walter's coming over right now.
Well, if it isn't my light of love. The bonjour, Miss Brooks, and to you, esteemed principal, felicitations. What's the matter, Mr. Conklin? Catch a rancid wheat cake at breakfast?
Mr. Conklin's not in a very good mood this morning, Walter. You see, today's the day the Board of Education is supposed to award Madison the plaque for its fine attendance record.
Well, what's bad about that? Let's get into the jolly institution and snag that little beauty.
I'd love to, Walter. Maybe we could melt you down and pour you through the bar. Now, I'm going to inform the other teachers of our dilemma, Miss Brooks. Please get expendable here on his way. Come with me, Harriet.
Yes, Daddy. Bye, Walter.
Adieu, lovely one. And lovely one's father.
Dad!
Well, Miss Brooks, there are times when I sense an animosity in that man. Now, what do you suppose could cause such a reaction?
Hatred, for one thing. Now, please listen carefully, Walter. You know Mrs. Davis's sister, Angela, don't you?
Oh, sure, Miss Brooks. I gave Mrs. Davis a ride out there last week.
Good. Do you remember where she lives?
Well, it's way on the other side of town. I didn't notice the address, but I think I could find it. There was a mailbox on the corner.
A mailbox? Isn't there anything else that would help you identify it?
Well, nothing outstanding.
What color was the house?
I don't remember the background color, but the stripes were purple. I guess I could find it all right, Miss Brooks. But I wish you'd tell me what this is all about.
Well, it's about the key to the school, Walter. Mrs. Davis walked off with it this morning, and it's up to you to go and get it back. Now, just ask her for the little fat key on a blue ribbon.
Your wish is my command, Miss Brooks. My eager jalopy is champing at the curb.
What kind of a car is that, anyway, Walter?
Oh, it has no name, Miss Brooks. Just a slogan.
A slogan?
Yeah. You know how they call the new Hudson the car you step down into?
Yes.
Well, this is the box you back away from.
Well, Miss Brooks, it's over an hour since Denton left, and he's still not back with that key.
I'm sure it won't be much longer, Mr. Conklin.
Here goes that phone again. I wish Mr. Stone would stop calling my office.
I know one way to stop him, Mr. Conklin. We can go to the malt shop next door and call him. That way you can stall him off till Walter gets back with the key.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Better than standing around listening to that phone. Come on, Miss Brooks.
Well, here we are, Mr. Conklin. Martin's Malt Shop, Madison's unofficial annex.
After you, Miss Brooks.
Well, if it isn't Miss Brooks.
Hi, Marty.
Sneak away from the ogre for a little fizz water?
No, the ogre is along today.
Sorry, Mr. Conklin, just a little nickname I picked up from the kids.
Why, I'm surprised at you, Marty. Nobody at Madison calls Mr. Conklin by anything but his right name.
Well, I'm happy to know that, Miss Brooks.
Oh, here's the phone booth right over here, pear-shaped. Mr. Conklin. Board of Education for you. School day, dear old golden rule.
Board of Education, Mr. Stone speaking.
Mr. Conklin calling you, Mr. Stone. One moment, please. Here you are, Mr. Conklin.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Stone.
Is that you, Conklin?
Yes, it is, Mr. Stone.
I might as well have a Coke while I'm waiting.
Well, it's about time. I was beginning to think that Madison High School had slid into the sea.
Well, I had to step out of my office for a minute, Mr. Stone, but I'm back in it now. Yes, sir.
What's that?
What's what?
Osgood, are you hissing me?
No, sir, no. We must have a bad connection.
It's a terrible connection. You say you're in your office?
Yes, sir.
I'll call you right back.
Yeah, but, Mr. Stone...
And for heaven's sakes, don't disappear again. Goodbye.
Wait, Mr. Stone. Wait, Mr. This is the last straw.
What did he say, Mr. Conklin?
He said he's going to call me right back. Now I'm in deeper than ever.
Oh, we'll figure some way out of this. After all, Mr. Stone is only a human being.
A human being who happens to be the head of our local board of education. Oh, this is awful.
Excuse me, Daddy, but the telephone in your office is ringing.
The telephone in your office is ringing.
What do you suggest, Harriet?
Well, I don't know, Daddy, but don't worry. I'm sure Walter won't fail us.
He'd better not. Now, Miss Brooks, I'm going over to inspect the classes that have been set up on the athletic field. I want you to call the board and talk to Mr. Stone.
Me? But what should I tell him?
Improvise.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin...
Call him off, Miss Brooks. I'm counting on you.
Oh, great. Well, I might as well get it over with.
What are you going to tell Mr. Stone, Miss Brooks?
I don't know yet, Harriet. I'll wait till he answers.
Hello, Mr. Stone speaking.
Hello, Mr. Stone. This is Miss Brooks at Madison High.
Yes?
I'm calling from Mr. Conklin's office, Mr. Stone. He asked me to call you.
Give me a double strawberry temptation, Martha.
Oh, he did. What about Miss Brooks?
About his not being able to talk to you for a while.
What in the world is that sound?
Oh, that's the radiator, Mr. Stone. It's defective.
Radiator? In June?
Well, they're just testing it. As a matter of fact, that's why Mr. Conklin can't talk to you. One of our students was just in his office, and this jet of hot water started out of the radiator, and Mr. Conklin jumped in front of the boy to save him and accidentally knocked out 6 of the boy's teeth.
Radiator should be fixed immediately.
Oh, it was, Mr. Stone. But Mr. Conklin doesn't want to leave the boy's side. He's on the couch across the room. He's giving him a transfusion.
A transfusion? Of teeth?
Oh, didn't I tell you? He also cut his foot. He's in a bad way, Mr. Stone. We're hoping for the best.
The boy now? In a malted milk machine?
There must be somebody else on this line, Mr. Stone. I'd better call you back.
No, Miss Brooks, don't bother. I don't quite know what's going on at Madison today, but I'm going to find out. You tell Mr. Conklin that I'll call him in exactly 10 minutes. If he isn't at the phone, prepared to carry on a rational conversation at that time, well, he'd better be.
But Mr. Stone...
Goodbye, Miss Brooks.
Goodbye. And goodbye, Mr. Conklin.
Well?
Well, nothing. It's worse than ever. Mr. Stone's going to call again in 10 minutes. Wait a minute, Harriet. I think I've got an idea.
What is it, Miss Brooks?
First, I'll get Marty to hang an out-of-order sign on this phone booth, and then I'll call Mr. Conklin's office in 5 minutes and leave the receiver off the hook on this end.
Well, what'll that do?
Well, that will ensure Mr. Stone's receiving a busy signal when he calls in 10 minutes, and that's what he'll continue to receive until Walter returns with the key.
Miss Brooks, you're a positive genius.
Please, Harriet, don't exaggerate. I'm not a bit positive.
Sure, Walter will be back any minute.
Oh, that Denton. Instead of sending him for the key, I should have sent some other idiot. I should have gone myself. He's nothing but an unreliable laggard, a detestable, nauseating, blundering knucklehead.
Excuse me, Mr. Conklin. Here's the key.
Bless you, boy. Well, don't stand there, Denton. Open the door.
Yes, sir.
Now, out of the way, out of the way. Now to get that phone. Must be Mr. Stone. Well, I'll just give him a piece of my mind. He thinks he can hound me all day. Hello? Osgood Conklin speaking. Hello? 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 They gave up. What? There's no dial tone. Some lame brain must have called this number and left the receiver off the hook. Hello? 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 Hello?
Mr. Conklin, sir, I found this telegram under your door.
A telegram? Let me see that. Let's see. Well, it's from Mr. Stone. It says, "Dear Osgood, realizing the futility of trying to reach you by telephone, I hereby inform you that the Board of Education has authorized you to suspend classes for the remainder of the school day in recognition of Madison's splendid attendance record."
Gosh!
gosh, Mr. Conklin, does that mean there's no more school today?
Evidently, Walter. Now, please go out to the athletic field and inform the teachers and students of my decision to give them the rest of the day off.
Yes, sir. Oh, before I go, I better bring you back the key. I left it in the door.
Now, just leave it there. I've got a little work to clean up. I can get it on my way home.
Let's make the most of our afternoon off, Miss Brooks. I'd like to do something really exciting today, if you're game.
Game?
Miss Brooks, I'd like to take you to the zoo.
I'm afraid that's a little too gamey for me, Mr. Gorman. I'd much rather go to a movie. Say, we must be the last two people on the grounds. I feel like... Oh, excuse me a minute.
What's wrong, Miss Brooks?
I just noticed the front door. Walter left the key in it. You know, the extra lock was my idea.
Yes, I know.
Mr. Conklin's been so worried about this key all day, I'm not going to take any chances.
What are you going to do, Miss Brooks?
I'm going to lock up the school and mail this key to Mr. Conklin.
Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first... And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, after I mailed the key, Mr. Boynton took me to the zoo. Then we had a nice Dutch dinner, saw a very exciting movie, and wound up at Marty's malt shop.
Well, give us a couple of malters, Marty.
Coming right up, folks.
That certainly was a terrifying picture, especially when Lucy starts to hear the voices.
Oh, I don't know. Lots of manic depressives wind up like that.
Beg pardon, Mr. Boynton?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I guess it's the effect of that movie.
Hello, can you hear me? Won't somebody answer me?
Now, wait a minute. I'm not that far gone.
Hello, out there!
It's coming from the phone booth. I better see what that is. Well, that's funny. The receiver's still off the hook. Hello?
Hello? Is that you, Miss Brooks?
Yes. Mr. Conklin?
It is indeed.
Have you been trying to reach me, Mr. Conklin?
I have indeed.
Oh, if it's about the school, Mr. Conklin, you don't have a thing to worry about. I locked it securely before I left the campus. Nobody can possibly get in.
That's not what I'm worried about, Miss Brooks. I'm worried about getting out.
You might... Oh, no, you're not still.
Yes, I'm still. Now get over here with that key!
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. The key? Oh, Mr. Boynton... Do you think you would lift me up?
Why, of course, Miss Brooks.
Good. Let's get down to the corner. I want you to slip me into the mailbox.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, Your Beauty Hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch.
There you go. There we have it. Our Miss Brooks from June 5th of 49. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Radio Vault. Your place to be every Tuesday from 10 in the morning till 1 o'clock. Andy Parks is in the house and he's going to bring you gospel tunes. As only he knows how to do. So hang tight for that. Coming up, we have got a show that is pretty unusual. It's called Cleary and Gallum from 1948. We're going to follow that by Johnny Mercer's Music Shop or something like that. So if you're ready, I'm ready, but we're not going to do that until we hear from Trinity House.
Trinity House Theater, located in Livonia, Michigan, is a non-profit concert venue where you can enjoy the wonderful experience of hearing live music in an intimate setting. For more than 30 years, Trinity House has hosted hundreds of artists from around the country, as well as local musicians, including singer-songwriters, folk artists, fingerstyle guitar players, and indie groups. In addition to a wide array of musical concerts, Trinity House offers local musicians a chance to showcase their talents with an open stage night on the first, third, and fifth Tuesday of every month. Plus, tasty refreshments are available for you to enjoy at every performance. So come on out and enjoy a fabulous show at Trinity House Theater right on 6 Mile Road just west of I-275. For a schedule of upcoming concerts or for information on booking a show, visit trinityhousetheater.org.
The Henry Ford College Learning Lab is your central location for academic support. They strive to assist students and faculty with techniques that are evidence-based and will increase your academic success. The Learning Lab offers in-person and online services to help you succeed. They offer tutorial assistance provided by faculty, professional, and student tutors, one-on-one academic assistance, including strategies for improving test-taking and studying, workshops and presentations to classes or groups on strategies for learning success, study groups and review sessions on a variety of subjects, hands-on learning resources such as anatomical models in our bone room, computers, printing, copying, and scanning. For more information, please visit hfcc.edu/learnlab.
The WHFR store has recently lowered its prices on all of our exclusive LPs and CDs. Visit our website and click Shop WHFR to find more information about our Minton State Transmissions CD box set, Uncut Detroit Volumes 2 and 3 on CD, and Motor City Gems on vinyl. All reduced and ready for free shipping. Support WHFR by adding these special collections of exclusive music to your library today. Visit WHFR.fm and click Shop WHFR.
I'm sitting here waiting on my sugar loaf, baby.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I don't want to disturb any of you folks who may have your radios tuned in, but we have a special surprise for you. We're going to switch you to the study of our guests. They don't know they're going to be on the air, and we may run into something interesting in the way of instrumental music and song. Also, some strange conversation. Mr. Technician, let's switch to the study of Cleary and Gillum.
Good enough to use for the program, Cleary? Do you think the people are going to like this?
Yeah, Ken, I think they should like it. If you play just a little more molto moderato so that people with banjo and ukulele may strum along with you.
Oh, darn, I wish we had an upright piano here instead of a grand.
Do you find it more difficult to play on a grand than an upright?
Well, no. From a musician's standpoint, there is no difference between a grand and an upright. But on the upright, I can always look at the grain in the wood while I'm playing. It rests my eyes.
Do you...
Oh, gee.
No, it's pretty.
Do you like it, huh?
Yeah.
Don't you ever get the grain in the woodwork and the notes mixed up?
Oh, occasionally, but who knows the difference? Once in a while, I get a wormhole mixed up with a whole note.
But why don't you just pour yourself a cup of coffee over there and read the morning paper while I continue with my practicing?
Oh, that's an excellent idea. You need the practice.
Please.
Listen to this. I think this is very funny. Oh,
well, read it to me and get it over with.
Right here in this column, right here. It's called Monkey Business. Boy, oh boy, this is the funniest thing I ever read. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree discussing things as they're said to be. Said one to the other, now listen, you two. There's a certain rumor that can't be true, that man descended from our noble race. Why, the very idea is a disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies, and ruined her life. and you've never known a mother monk to leave her babies with others to bunk, or pass them on from one to another till they scarcely know who is their mother. And another thing you never see, a monk built a fence around a coconut tree and let the coconuts go to waste, forbidding all other monks to taste. Why, if I'd put a fence around the tree, starvation would force you to steal from me. Listen to this. Here's another thing a monk won't do. Go out at night and get on a stew, or use a gun or a club or a knife to take some other monkey's life. Yes, man descended the ornery cuss, but brother, he didn't descend from us.
Who wrote that?
Oh, some monkey.
Down in Jungle Town, a honeymoon is coming soon. Then you'll hear a
Al, wait a minute, Al. Gosh. Say, that would be a great idea to use that number on our program. You know what it'd do? It'd bring back a lot of memories.
Oh, Clary, that would be too corny.
Corny? Well, practice up for about 6 months on it, and you'll be able to modernize it. You better start right now. We might get a job in about that length of time. Jungle Town modern?
That's supposed to be modern.
Oh, modern Jungle Town. Oh, that brought back beautiful memories. Beautiful.
What picture flashed through your mind as it was being refreshed by that tune?
Well, it was in 1908. I was going with the girl across the street. I was taking her to dances and taking her buggy riding, and my intentions were to marry her.
How old were you then?
4 years old.
At that age, you were taking her to dances, buggy riding, and intended to marry her?
No, but it was flashing through my mind.
What was that?
Well, somebody threw that head through the window there.
Well, it's not a head.
Well, it's got hair on it. Pick it up and see.
It's a coconut. It's ticking.
There's only one way to open the coconut, and that's with a hammer. Here, open it up.
Right.
I'm up here on the chandelier. Hand me a bathrobe. It's cold up here.
Well, come on down out of there, Cleary.
I wonder who could have thrown that bomb.
You must have enemies.
Well, maybe somebody's been eavesdropping.
Can't see why anybody would be mad with us. We're just a couple of actors.
Yeah, and I'm considered to be a very fine actor. What do you know about that? I got a letter from a theater manager here in my pocket right now.
What pocket?
Oh, I forgot the explosion. Well, there it is, right on the floor. If you don't believe it, pick it up and read it.
To whom it may concern, in regard to my late leading man, Leo Cleary, he plays King Lear, Julius Caesar, Cardinal Richelieu, and the horses, the last best.
Ah.
Do you suppose it's somebody that's seen you in the theater?
It's probably somebody I owe at the races.
Oh, well, I tell you, it's just one of those things. Let's forget about it.
Yeah, I'll sing like I ain't scared.
When a southern boy gets homesick, there is just one thing to do. Listen, southern boy, if you're homesick, here's my advice to you. Take your pack on your back and go back to your shack in the Carolines. Hide away from the snow in your rose-covered Dixie home.
Take your pack on your back and go back to your shack in the Caroline. When you meet with the sweet, tell the sweet that you're glad you're home. Instead of freezing, instead of sneezing in the dingy little room, you'll be walking, sugar talking, where the sweet magnolias bloom. Take your pack on your back and go back to your shack in the Carolines. Shake the old wanderlust, hit the dust for your Dixie home.
Say, you know something, Ken? That song wouldn't be bad to use on the program either.
Well, with a little practice, you should have that mastered in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I better stick to my playwriting.
You've written another play?
Yeah, mm-hmm. All new plot, all new characters, all new stuff. And you want to know something?
Mm-hmm.
I snitched some sound effects from NBC to go with my play.
Oh, with sound effects?
Yeah.
What is the nature, boy, of your play?
Well, it's, the scene takes place in a small New England village in the town square.
Cannons in the park, a statue of Sherman and his horse, pigeons flying about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the idea. You're right. The village chamber of commerce is sent to Boston for a blacksmith to come to Framingham to repair the bells on the village church, which have long been out of tune.
They were a little cracked, eh?
You got the idea. You got the idea. The blacksmith arrives in the village on the train.
Well, naturally, the Chamber of Commerce goes to the train to meet the bell fixer.
Yes, yes, the Chamber of Commerce does. And there's a large crowd there. He's rushed to the meeting house immediately to repair the bell.
And the Chamber of Commerce goes with him?
Yes. But they leave him alone in the belfry to concentrate on his work. Now, we hear the blacksmith trying out the bells.
Those bells sound all right to me.
Yes. Their lusty, dulcet tones ring out, but just a slight bit off key.
How long did it take him to fix them?
Well, in a fortnight.
Mm-hmm.
He has them repaired and is resting in the local hotel, the Commercial House. It's Wednesday night. Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And he's patiently waiting to hear the results of his efforts at the curfew time.
This is very interesting. But what happened to the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, I'm coming to that, Ken. In another part of town sit the village fathers in deep meditation, waiting patiently for the curfew to ring. Finally, the zero hour.
It makes the chills run up my spine.
Finally, it's the zero hour. There's another chill for you. The village fathers are tense. The bells in the little New England village of Framingham ring out.
Out of tune, hopelessly so. What now?
The village fathers have heard the discord. They grab their shotguns and march to the hotel where the blacksmith who has just repaired the bells is stopping.
Gosh, this is exciting.
They run down the hallway of the hotel, shotguns in hand.
He's in room number 12!
There sits the blacksmith in a very despondent mood.
Gee, what do the village fathers say to him?
Well, they say,
we'll give you till tomorrow morning to get out of town. You ain't done right by our mill.
How do you like my play, Gillum?
I think you better practice your song for that opportunity contest tomorrow night.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is there anybody listening to me? Feeling downhearted and blue. Is there anybody listening to me? Wishing they knew what to do. I know I've got no right at all to mix in your affair. But if I were you, here's what I'd do to drive away troubles and cares. Nothing's really wrong. Get up and get along. Forget the bills you owe. Get the one you love and take a riding, riding up that river road. Listen to the breeze, it's whispering in the trees. The meadow's just been mowed. Yes, you're getting mighty near to heaven, riding up that river road. There beside the stream, you can sit and dream. Tell her that you love her tenderly. Throw your every care in the river there. Watch them all go drifting to the sea. When you turn around, you take her back to town. With every smile she shows, you can bet she'll always be beside you, riding up that river road. Riding up that river road.
Oh, gee, thanks for the help, Ken, but I have to be running along now. Enjoyed it very much this morning here with you. Say, who's that man peeking through the window over there? He's peeking right at us. He looks awful mad. Is he the fellow that writes the dramatic shows around here?
No, he's the guy that writes out the checks for NBC.
Let's scram out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been eavesdropping on Clarion Gillen. I'm sorry the man who writes the checks spoiled it, or we might have had more of their strange conversation, music, and song. So drop in on us at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, Pacific Standard Time. They may have something more interesting. This is Richard Cleary speaking to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
This is Johnny Mercer and his music shop. All you soldiers, sailors, and marines out there, all you gals in the service, we're on the air.
Welcome by way of rebroadcast to Johnny Mercer's music shop with Joe Stafford, Paul Weston, Dorchestra, the Pied Pipers, the June Hutton, our special guest for this evening, myself, Wendell Niles, and that singing salesman behind the counter, Johnny Mercer.
Hope we get your steady vote. We remain yours truly, unquote. Hi there, all you GIs and iPhones. This is Jay Mercer and the crew standing around ready to serve you, direct from the old music shop. We'd like to run through a little madrigal here just for size. Joe Stafford and the Pipers sing the latest ballad from the pen of that renowned and regal Duke of Ellington, I Didn't Know About You.
Taking my fun where it could be found, and yet what else could I do? I didn't know. romance was a thing I kidded about. How could I know about love? I didn't know.
Music shop, I'm always glad to have my oldest and most trusted friends drop in and pay me a visit. Our guest tonight may not be my most trusted friend, but he's the oldest one I know, Bob Hope.
Well, thank you, Johnny. Thank you, John. I'm happy to be. I've always been interested in the music business. I'm somewhat of a musician myself, you know.
Yes, I noticed your hair. Was your barber drafted?
No, he's in there somewhere. Just keep looking. Isn't this a lovely crop of scalp spinach? I'm in a pirate picture at Sam Goldwyn's, you know.
Well, does your hair have to be that long?
Yes, sir. In the big scene, I walk the plank and sweep it at the same time. But I wasn't kidding about being a musician, Johnny. I've got swing in my blood. I've got razzmatazz in my plasma. I thought you'd love to know it.
Love that.
I'm the only one that likes it. But, John, you should hear me. You should hear me play the violin. I just pick it up and tuck it under my chin.
Really? Which one?
I guess so. Look. Don't be silly. Those aren't chins. I just have a bashful Adam's apple and an insist on a Venetian blind. Things are picking up, and I have another one for $4. You know. But I'm really happy to be here, Johnny. You know, years ago when you were a struggling songwriter and I was trying to get started in radio, I made you a promise. I said that when I became a big, successful comedian, I'd come back and pay you a visit, and here I am.
Just couldn't wait, huh?
Yeah. Fast tonight. 1 minute, Mercer. 1 minute. Why do you think 30 million people sit down every Tuesday night and tune in on the radios?
I don't know why.
No gas coupons. But, Johnny, I dropped in to see you as one writer to another.
Writer? Oh, you mean your new book, I Never Left Home.
Say it slower. That's right. Have you read it?
No. I look this way from a vitamin deficiency.
You do, huh?
Yes.
Well, don't worry about it.
Ruined the joke, didn't I?
I knew it looks good anyway. Say, yes.
How come you happen to write a book, Bob?
Well, the public expects it of all famous people, John. We know when to wait, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But anyway, that's it, Johnny. You're gazing at Robert Hope, author. I've joined the ranks of Shakespeare, Milton, and Lord Byron.
You really think you've become as famous as they were, Bob?
Well, maybe not quite as famous, but then I haven't been dead as long as they have. Or should we take a vote?
I don't like to criticize your becoming a writer, Bob, but in writing a book, don't you think you went at the thing sort of backwards?
Backwards?
Mm-hmm. Don't you think it'd been better if you'd learned how to read first? And don't you think it'd been better if I'd learned how to read?
Who's writing your junk tonight, Crosby? Who did that?
Well, Bob, don't get sore. Just that your writing a book was somewhat of a surprise
to me. Please, don't step on the tail end of my sneers, please.
But you don't look like...
John, please, that's it. Now,
go on again.
When they're milking, brother.
You still don't look like the type that would sit down with a pencil.
What's that? Where's that?
I didn't look like the type that would sit down with a pencil.
John!
Yes?
I didn't sit down with a pencil.
What'd you sit down with?
A secretary.
Is that a good way to write a book?
It isn't bad. Of course, with a pencil, you can erase the mistakes. But I can't understand. I thought that was a straight line. Isn't that silly? But I can't understand it, John. Nobody believes I can write it. But, of course, how could they know I matriculated at some of the biggest colleges in the country?
Matriculated?
Yeah, that's French for flunked out. But now, how I remember those gay, carefree college days. I'll never forget the night my fraternity brothers tossed me in a blanket. Broke my back in three places.
Broke your back?
Yeah, they couldn't find a blanket, so they used Kleenex. That's a joke. They never had Kleenex. I know. Those were the days, though. I'll never forget at the college dance when I gave that girl my fraternity pin. Gee, I couldn't move.
What happened?
My pants fell down.
Well, getting back to your book, Bob, you really did a swell job in describing your travels overseas. I hadn't realized how many places you'd visited. England, Scotland, Africa, Sicily. Gee, you kept on the move, didn't you?
Yeah, sometimes I think it would have been easier if I'd paid my income tax.
It seems funny you taking a trip like that, Bob. Wasn't it pretty rugged for a fella like you?
Rugged for a beast like me? Well, I have you know I'm plenty rugged myself, J.M. Over there, they call me a man's man.
Well, they're using substitutes for everything these days.
Wait a minute, Mercer. No northerner can talk to me like that.
But I'm a southerner.
Well, then go right ahead. Well, it's all right.
Hey, Bob. Bob, you were caught with you.
Going to wrap it for today's program. We're going to make way for the man with the gospel tunage, Andy Parks, next with Strictly Gospel. You have yourself a pleasant Tuesday, and we'll talk to you in about a week here at 89.3 WHFR, the station that makes waves. We're going to leave it with Herbie Hancock.
Served in World War II. Spending time with him were the best memories of my life. I became a physician at VA because of my grandfather, so I can help others like him. I can't imagine working with better doctors or a more dedicated staff. I'm fulfilling my life's mission with the help of my team and thanks to these veterans. I'm proud to be a doctor at VA and proud to honor my grandfather every day. Search VA Careers to find out more.
Considering a career as a social worker, mental health technician, or counselor? If so, check out the Social Work and Counseling Technician program at Henry Ford College. You can earn your Associate in Applied Science degree through HFC's School of Health and Human Services. For more information, contact our Learning Success Center at 313-845-9750. That's 313-845-9750.
Private Detective.
If mysteries are your thing, we have them for you here on WHFR. On WHFR Sunday Night Mysteries, each and every Sunday between 9 o'clock in the p.m. and midnight. a thrill or a suspense or an adventure are waiting for you on Sunday night. We'll see you at 9 o'clock for WHFR Sunday Night Mysteries.
Here transcribed is Richard...
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
I'm Andy Parks, and this is Strictly Gospel.